morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Harlan Williams and Joel McHale coming in today.
We better change the subject.
Fan favorites. Also, Kimbo Slice. Kimbo Slice is a super scary black man who fights in the UFC, who was the Street Fighter guy, who's involved with all these underground videos that were on YouTube, like bare-fisted, old-school.
Big old beard.
Clint Eastwood, big old beard, and also shaves his chest hair in a scary way. I've seen chest hair be frightening. Anyway, the guy, I saw the guy do a UFC fight, and he just walked right through the other guy. He's like, he is... You know what he is? He's the embodiment. He's the real Clubber Lang.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he is Mr. T
from Rocky III.
He's Mr. T from Rocky III in real life, except for he really fights.
Right.
And scares the bejesus out of everyone. So, plus his also name is Kimbo Slice.
Yeah, yesterday when Angie told us Kimbo Slice was going to be on the show, I thought, is that some kind of rapper? Who is that?
It's a new soda.
I wouldn't known who he was either, but I saw him in the UFC, and it was like, it was incredible. And also Jessica Alba, but don't hold your breath. I assume she'll be dropping out at some point. All right, now, 866.
Well, then I'm glad I didn't see the eye.
901 Adam. Well, pretend like you did if she does call up in the 7 o'clock hour. How say you, and let's speak to our old friend Dan from DeKalb. By the way, good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Ann Kroll.
And good morning, Bald Brian. There you go, everybody. Harlan Williams. Dan?
Good morning.
What's going on, Dan?
Well, I tried calling in yesterday. I had a job interview, and I was called in today just to see if you can give us any tips. I've already gone on mine, but maybe someone else. Going on theirs?
Well, I like that, Dan. You're looking out for others. You've screwed up your own job interview, but you're looking.
Oh yeah.
You're looking to save the jobs of others.
You got it.
Well, let's see. I've interviewed quite a few people. I haven't been on a ton of interviews because, as a carpenter, you don't really go on interviews. You don't fill out applications. You don't really do anything. You just kind of show up. It's always like, I got a friend, and he lives in Topanga, and his name is Dan. And then you go, he's not some J.O., is he? And they go, nah, he's cool. I mean, when he's not drunk. And you go, is he a good carpenter? And they go, he's decent. And you go, how much does he want an hour? $13. All right, tell him to show up Monday. Does he have a truck? That's how the interview goes.
Right.
But I interviewed a lot of people when I was working at the Man Show because we were the bosses and we had to hire a bunch of people. Resume's decent, but it's pretty much how you are in the office.
Right.
And if you push too hard, that's bad. On the other hand, there's some the thing can be ruined for nothing. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
We interviewed a director at the Man Show. Last name was Campbell, but he pronounced the P. So he'd say, it's Campbell.
Ugh.
And we were like, all right, next.
Right, because that says all you need to know.
That's all we need to know. Everyone just looked. As soon as the guy's ass left the door, everyone just looked at each other and said, Campbell? Sorry, brother. You'll take that very proud, retarded name of Campbell. Everyone else on the planet does Campbell.
We should reenact for the rest of the interview. It's like, yes, I remember Roots. I directed all the episodes of that.
Yeah.
I've won 11 Emmys.
Listen, Campbell, I don't know if you've ever shot anyone on a trampoline before.
No, remember Lonesome Dove?
Yeah.
And the sequel and the prequel, I did all those. First AD on Goodfellas and most of Mars Scorsese's films.
Yeah, this is basic cable. This is for the big boys. You understand?
You know Merchant Ivory? I'm friends with them both.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. Look, we'll keep your resume in our file. We're looking at a guy
I can leave one of my Oscars
here. We got a 21-year-old kid from Spike TV does those police crash videos. We're looking toward him. I got to be honest with you, Campbell. Yeah, that's what it was. So, can you believe that? Everyone just hated him. So, overcompensating, like talking too fast. Like
right.
Here's what you need to do. You shouldn't try to, it's just like a date. You shouldn't try to shoehorn 36 minutes of conversation into 11 minutes.
Right.
That makes you look desperate. Like, Teresa, you date a guy, you're going on the first date, the guy's tap dancing too fast, you think, what's up?
Right, then you get uncomfortable.
Right, not secure enough.
Yeah.
In his own skin. So, some of it is grooming. Some of it is just basic vibe and relaxation. Overcompensating, not going to work. Look, if it was meant to be, it's meant to be. And I know that's not great advice, but what I'm saying is you can't go into an interview and will your way into that workplace. You just, this person may have someone else in mind, or there may be someone twice as good looking and twice as qualified as your ass that's coming in next. There's nothing you can do about it.
I agree. If you're a fit, you can't really screw it up. And if you're not, there's not much you can do.
Right. So it's like, if it was a dance competition, pick a dance you know how to do, relax, and do it. Let's put it this way. If it was Olympic diving, do the dive you know how to do off the springboard. Don't go for the double pike, half gainer, camel sow-tow, and do a belly flop. You're pushing too hard.
Now, didn't you hire a guy that made his own Hawaiian shirts?
Well, that guy's name was Adam De La Pena, and he's gone on to greatness.
Miho.
He's been on this show. Miho. Yeah, Miho not only sewed...
Miho!
He sewed the shirt he was wearing in our interview, but he promised to sew us Hawaiian shirts, too.
Miho?
And he got the job.
Well, we needed a Mexican. The EEOC was up our ass.
Miho!
So one, he was Mexican, and that was helpful, although you can't really do that unless it's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
And two, he promised to sew you a Hawaiian shirt, and he was wearing one himself.
We asked him where he got that shirt. Right. And here's another thing, people. Have your favorite TV show and your favorite kind of music and that kind of stuff. Have that kind of stuff locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people want to get a general vibe from you, and they'll go, like, you a NASCAR fan? Or they'll go, you know, you like sports? Or what kind of music you listen to? Just to get a general vibe. Because if, you know, a guy says, I love Carrot Top and bluegrass, we're going to have a problem.
Now, when you hired Bobcat Goldthwait, he was a director, right?
Right.
Did you just hire him because you loved his work, or did he actually come in and sit down for an interview?
He had to do the character from Scrooge.
Oh, wow.
He had to put the glasses on and grease his hair. Oh, no, the 2 seasons.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't just during the interview.
You insisted that he direct in that character?
Yeah, Bob we knew was a really good director, so we were sort of happy to have him. But, yeah, general vibe, I don't know, treat it like a first date. But what you don't want to do is overcompensate and work too hard. Because here's what happens. We smell desperation. And when we smell desperation, somehow we think we're too good for you.
Right.
It's like if there's a car on the lot and it's $20,000, and there's 3 other people looking at it going, oh, man, what a deal. You go, oh, give me that car. But if they're just 3 salesmen standing around it talking about how low mileage a car is and how great it would be, you're like, yeah, I'm looking around. I'm looking around. That's the same car, same price, no difference. One is 3 guys standing around it with bad sport coats trying to sell it to me. The other's 3 potential buyers. And now there's something going on. So same product goes from desperate to desirable. How? Well, other people want it.
I know. You ever notice when you have one job, suddenly other people want to hire you?
Look, it's that way with girlfriends, with jobs, with everything. And the best thing you can do, especially in this town, is tell somebody, thanks, but no thanks. They go berserk. All right, let's see. Adam, 23.
Yes, morning.
What's up, Adam?
Wanted to know what was on your jump rope mix. I just assume it's a loop of Gary Puckett and Warm Butter.
Yeah, you mean when I put my iPod on and skip my rope?
Sure, I've kind of got into it the past couple weeks. And
you have? This is it. It's on a loop.
It's not a bad jump rope song.
You know, it's all the songs I like, whoa, although usually the upbeat ones. I got a few Boss Tone songs on there. I got some old Joe Jackson on there. I'll bring it in one of these days. I just have anything old and new, but upbeat usually.
Cake? You have some cake on there?
No, I don't have cake. I'll tell you why I don't have cake, and I probably should. Cake, they do 6-minute songs that are quirky, interesting, and fun. But what you need for skipping rope is 2.5-minute songs that cook along. Right. So you need like old Joe Jackson versus
New Joe Jackson?
New Joe Jackson or Cake, yes. All right. Thank you. By the way, now, you got a good jump rope?
I do, yeah.
Okay, because they're not all that good.
Right, right. Yeah, I got a good one.
All right. And you're light on your feet?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Don't get defensive.
I'm not.
All right. Good times there, Adam. Yeah, I think I have this one, too. A little Bad Religion.
Good jump rope and music.
Yeah. Hey, Derek?
Yeah.
What's happening, my brother?
Hey, I just want to say that I won tickets to the 107.7 The End show in Seattle that you're going to be at on Saturday. And
wow.
Saturday's my birthday, and I'm really excited to see you guys there.
All right. And wow. should we do a little reenactment, Ball Bryant, or what it's going to be like when I run into Derek in Seattle on Saturday night? All right. Do that? Here we go.
Ace Man.
Huh?
Big fan. I called in your show. Derek.
Oh, hey, yeah.
The Derek.
Hey.
From Seattle.
Hey, David, grab me a Miller Chill, would you, bro?
But it's my birthday.
Thank you. All right.
Happy
who wants a t-shirt?
To me.
Derek?
Yeah, you forgot the part of my cell phone camera picture.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hold still.
Hey, okay, let's try that. Yeah, hey, what? Hey,
can you hold still? My buddy's gonna take a picture of us, my cell phone camera. It'll take 2 seconds.
How about I close my eyes and picture Miller Chill?
But it's...
Security!
My birthday.
Hey, Derek?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to kind of prepare you. I'm going to grease the skids.
The first one's not going to work, though.
Hmm?
The first picture is not going to work, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got taken out.
Nice.
And look, listen, whether it works or not, the a-holes that announced we need another one for backup, in this digital age, don't you know if you've got it or not? I feel like that's some sort of vestige. That's some sort of carryover. It's the appendix of a photography. We don't need it anymore. Why are we bringing it along? Look, back in the day when you had film cameras, you couldn't see what you just shot, so you'd go, all right, let's take another one in case that one was overexposed or something. But for the love of Christ, you have a digital display. It's a readout. You don't know. By the way, you want to know how many extra pictures that is for me? 100%. Not 15%, not 22%, 100% of having my arm around a guy while he yells at his buddy, he doesn't know how to work his camera. And by the way, I've said it many times, you should not work your camera. You should learn to work other people's cameras because the buddy hands you the camera and then you sit there and go, which button do you press? Or maybe we should get on the same page and make all the cameras universal. But either way, the jail that goes, all right, here we go. Awesome. Awesome. All right, let's get one more now. Let's of the exact same picture when you're looking at the readout.
Worse than that is when you're in a group setting and there's 20 people. And it's like, take a picture. Great. All right, my camera.
Right.
It's like, these are digital pictures. They're made to email to hundreds of people.
Who has a computer? I know. And then you seem like a J.O. when you're going, I think we got it.
After the first picture, you just leave. That's it. One.
Hey, Derek.
Yeah.
Sorry, my brother. Now, what are we doing over there Saturday night?
There's a three-band concert there. It's just a small little venue in Seattle, up on the East Hill.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I look forward to it, and I look forward to seeing you, Derek.
Yeah, for sure.
And happy birthday, brada.
Hey, thanks, man. Sorry to work you up into a rant.
Oh, hey, what do you know? All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Somebody wants to hear the story of jogging, then pooping in hand. Huh? Mm.
That combines two stories, I think. Maybe three.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one. Let's see.
Speaking of Bam Margera.
So let's see. Thoughts? Uh-huh. Farted on girlfriend's head while she was asleep.
I wish
she was
asleep.
I did, too. She was giving oral sex. All right. And we'll take a quick break. Be back with your comments next.
La 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 luli. I'm Patton Oswalt, and you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show. Five. This is the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Check, check, check! Boom goes the dynamite! Beeps! Today, the star of the new movie, The Eye, Jessica Alba. From Wayne's World and True Lies, Tia Carrera. The best TV clips of the week with Joel McHale. Comedian Harland Williams. pound fighter and mixed martial arts sensation, Kimbo Slice. And your chance to win Grammy tickets in a new round of Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Hey, if that doesn't work out for you, I've also got a game you can play to win Grammy tickets. It's called Take Off My Pants and Show Me How Much You Want Grammy Tickets. Wait.
Can you believe we worked for this guy? 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. How say you? Now, when we left off, somebody wanted to hear a story about me jogging and pooping or something. Christina?
What's up?
What story are you looking for? And by the way, you're calling out of Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
Good times. What story are you looking for?
Okay. So you were talking about farting the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And walking up steps.
Oh, yeah, right. Walking up steps. Right. Yeah, the upstep fart. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and there was a story that you told while Sarah Silverman was on. Apparently Jimmy had told her the story. And it was basically the funniest story I've ever heard.
Wow.
Like, you were walking up the stairs, and I think you were, like, cupping your fart to smell it, like, later, and you ended up totally pooping in your hand.
No. Yeah, I think that may have happened once. I do have a bad habit of that. I'll do the hand cup thing.
It's easy to forget.
I don't know if everyone does that. Does everyone do the hand cup thing?
Yeah, I never thought of it.
You never thought of it? Really?
No.
Really? Really?
Never crossed my mind.
Never crossed your mind.
Brian?
Actually, no.
Really? Never crossed your mind?
No, crossed my mind. No, some of my fraternity brothers did it, but
They've done the cup to you.
Yeah, to me.
Well, then that's a simple math. You know what I mean? It's like eating a meal at a restaurant and realizing, hey, I could make this at home.
Sam Luffy and I used to.
Christina, do you do this?
I'm not going to lie. I might have done it once or twice. You've got to know your stink, dude.
Yeah, you do. You do have to know. Look, is this
the only way to do it?
It's a maintenance issue. It's a hygiene thing. Hold on a second, Lord and Lordess over here. Look, Your Highness. There's a reason why after you make a number two, you look at it. There's a reason why. It's built into you.
You're saying biologically we should know that what's coming out is okay.
Biologically, if we see like a, you know, something that looks like a roadkill in there, or let's just say you have blood in your stool.
Right, you should check that.
You should check that. Now, I do believe...
You should?
I do believe, well, not yourself, but I do believe that there are things that are built into human beings, and those things are vestiges of the past.
Right.
Maybe you don't need to cup your own farts in this day and age.
I don't think
possibly so. You don't need to. But early man, oh,
had to.
It was, remember fight or flight?
Yeah.
There was cup or, damn it, it rhymes with cup. There was fan or man. Look, the point is, you look at your stool. The reason you look at your stools to see how healthy you are, and it's built into us. I think me cupping and Christina doing the occasional cup. But I think one time I was attempting a cup. It could have been a bare-assed cup. Maybe I was getting into the shower or coming out of the shower or something like that. I attempted a bare-ass cup, and I may have had a little diarrhea or something.
Oh, you gambled and lost.
Yeah, but it's all right. Thankfully,
never gamble more than you're willing to lose.
Thankfully, I stopped before my hand got to my face for a second time.
Okay, now let me get this straight. You cup. So I thought that cupping was something you did in order to then... force your friend to smell it.
Well, yeah, but every once in a while when your friend's not around, who are you going to play the joke on?
I see.
Play it on yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, I do the cup. As a matter of fact, one time I was driving with my girlfriend, and I was, I instinctively did the cup thing in the car, and I didn't even think that she was in the car.
He just forgot.
You know, it's a reflex thing. You ever do that sort of, there's some things that are a little bit reflexive. Whenever I fart and drive, I'll do the wave. I'll do the whoosh wave thing. I'll waft it up toward me.
You're waving at me from the car.
I was doing the waft thing, and she saw me do it, and she was repulsed, but it was funny because she said, I can't believe you wave your fart up while you're driving a car. I mean, it's pathetic. Like, what kind of human being would do that? And I said, Honey, I'm operating a motor vehicle. You want me to tuck my head between my legs while I'm driving? It could kill us both.
You showed her.
Now who's the crazy one?
Did that relationship ever recover?
Yeah. I married her. Christina?
Yeah.
Is that the story you were looking for?
Yeah, I have one other question. Mm. So one time I was at cheerleading practice and I had to pop a squat. And so I went into this party potty that was on a construction site.
Mm-hmm.
Covered in porn. Is that normal?
The porta potties?
Yeah.
No.
Porn all over the inside?
Like no. Leaflets or like magazines? Like the leaflets people hand out, I can see maybe just someone dropping off.
You mean,
bunch.
Yeah, magazines all over the place?
No. Like cut up pictures of specific girls.
That was somebody's porta potty. I mean, that was a personal porta potty there. So I haven't seen. All I've ever seen, like I've said many times, on the outside you see Mexican space shuttle. It's always good for a laugh. And on the inside, where the seat liners are, you see free cowboy hats. That's that's my experience with riding on porn. And then your general graffiti and stuff like right. that, but not anything more than that. I was telling everybody, you know how I do that? Here's how I know we're dumb thing, like right. I was talking about. How you travel through the airport and have to take your ID out every 20 feet and your boarding pass. And then there's some gates or some places where you only need your boarding pass. And then some where you need your boarding pass and your ID. And we've decided it'd be a great idea to process 200 million people a day by having a heavyset woman of color yelling in an angry way. You're going to need your butt. You need your IDs and boarding passes. And then there's always that J.O. in front of you who's wearing the Walkman, who's got his earbuds in, who then when he gets there is surprised. Oh, my license? Jesus, I tuck that back inside of myself like I'm going to prison. Meaning, we don't put just a universal sign up for ID and boarding pass or just ID. There should be a universal ID sign, by the way, not just at the airport, at the will call counter, at the stadium, or wherever you need your ID, whether it's the guard tower, whatever it is, we should establish a universal ID so that when the guy in front of you pulls up to the guard tower, he's not digging around his ass trying to get his wallet out while you're waiting behind him. He has the ID out. But we haven't invented that. We're not smart enough to come up with a sign for ID that could, by the way, just say I and D next to it and be green circle. But we can't figure that out as
a
society.
The sign that tells you when you don't need the ID, because there's nothing worse. It's like, oh, I've learned my lesson. Here we
no.
go. ID is like, oh, we don't need that here, sir.
But once you get used to the ID sign, then if you don't see the ID sign, you just keep walking and keep it in your wallet. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to do that elimination. But that's how I know we're dumb. The other thing, as I was explaining to everyone off the air and have done it on the air before, the other reason I know we're dumb as human beings is I've done 1,000 of those porta potties being a construction worker. I don't know if someone could give me the history of the porta potty, but it's got to go back 100 years. I mean, as soon as there were construction sites, major construction sites, bridge building, infrastructure, cities going up. You know, there had to be something in, you know, New York in the 18-whatevers when they were building bridges. There had to be a place for the crew of, you know, Irishmen to go, right?
Sure.
So they've been around for 150 years. 8 years ago, somebody figured out the urinal. Now, I would reckon if you go to a concert and there are a bunch of porta potties out there, some big old event, 90 to 96% of the people that go in there are just whizzing out the beer.
Yeah.
They save their duke for the home.
Right.
90-something percent. And when I say that, and it sounds high, but if 10 guys go into a porta potty at a big concert, only one of them's dropping the deuce. The other nine are taking a whiz. The problem is for those other nine, and this pertains to guys, although I would say guys use porta potties more than the gals do because guys are the construction workers and the road crew guys and all that kind of stuff. We have to stare in this endless brown pot of perdition known as the hole that you did your mess into. That's what we look at. That's what the other nine guys that are doing the number one get to look at. No covering, no anything, just a big old hole of Duke, and we're whizzing on it. And by the way, when you whiz on it, you activate it. So you just stand over there, over that funky pot, and whiz on it. Now, 180 years after the porta potty was invented, somebody figured out if we take a 1 gallon milk container, turn it over, cut half of it out, and put 3 foot of garden hose with a hose clamp on the bottom of it and pop rivet it to the side of the thing. For a dollar, we can make a very functional urinal, and then I can whiz into the urinal rather than standing over the pot of Duke taking my whiz. It took us 96 years to figure that one out, even though urinals were in every single bathroom, in every airport, in every municipal building, in every commercial building for the last 100 years. That's how I know we're stupid. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. There's been a revolution in urinals, and it's taken far too long.
Thank you. Brian, did you find out anything about porta potties?
No. I mean, I can't give any good information about when they came around. So
okay, I want to find out who farted while he was receiving oral. Jesse?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Sir Walter Raleigh?
Hello.
What happened?
Well, you know, this beer called Hairy Eyeball. I don't know if you've had it, but you should try it.
It's a beer.
It's a beer. I was drinking beer, and it gives the rankest farts. And it was bedtime, and my lady was taking care of me, and I just couldn't hold it.
This is great.
Yeah. Sweet.
The thing I thought of, though, is when you farted in the can and let Jimmy smell it in the kitchen.
Well, that was my greatest achievement. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, being a parent.
Right.
Or, you know, some graduation degree or something like that. For me, it was getting Jimmy to smell my fart in the coffee can. And the reason that was great is I've said many times, you can do all the wafting you want and waving and Dutch ovening, and you can do all that, hey, who farted? And all the person does is they hold their nose, they breathe through their mouth, or they do what they used to do at the Man Show, which is one of the writers would yell, Shields. And everyone would pull their T-shirt up over their nose like that when Cousin Sal would fart up the writer's room. It was a sort of a battle stations cry, except for they just yelled, Shields. But you can't get somebody to inhale. And when I farted in that coffee can and gave it to Kimmel, he was forced to drink it in. And again, dig this. When somebody says, smell this, oftentimes you're tentative. You start off about 6 inches away and you go, and you're tentative. Except for whole coffee beans. If somebody hands you a can that has a handful of whole coffee beans at the bottom of it, you will... That's what you do. You don't, you're not like, what kind? Are these Colombian? What are these roasted? Is this organic? No, you will suck it right in. So the greatness of that achievement was not the farting in the coffee can.
Right,
sure.
Anyone could do that.
Anyone can and does do that. It was Jimmy inhaling my gas. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T?
Yep.
I think we have some Grammy tickets.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to give those Grammy tickets away.
A little Nicaraguan Name That Tune.
866-901-ADAM. Nicaraguan Name That Tune. Ozzy sings the hits. Do we have a tease?
Yeah. Sure we do.
Let's hear it.
Dreaming in my pay with your finger. Singing my life with your war.
Classic Grammy songs.
I'm guessing these are all Grammy songs.
Right.
All Grammy Award winning songs.
All classic songs.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Be back with a Grammy inspired Nicaraguan Name That Tune next.
Adam Carolla.
Danger Seeker.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Fled Nicaragua and headed for the States.
What's happening, Ozman?
Good morning, man.
He reviews the movies and cooks his legendary flap steak.
Guy can't speak English.
Oh, yeah.
I know you feel like you don't need to end words, like you go, arr.
Oswaldo can't pronounce the word Adam right.
You gotta get that last it's couple letters in.
Language problem.
Oh, Adam's name.
Saying Adam or
it's something that he can't say.
Give me a good clean Adam.
For 16 years, he's been butchering Adam's name. Adam's name. Adam's name.
Guys, nice job. Now get to my house and start working. Well, your chance to win Grammy tickets. When is that? Sunday?
I believe so.
Who's hosting that?
Queen Latifah, I think. Is that right? No, she did the People's Choice.
I just feel like when I don't know who's hosting something, I just say Queen Latifah.
Because odds are, no, I don't think it is. I don't know who's hosting.
But you know what I mean? Like, when you're out of answers, you just go, Queen Latifah.
Yeah, it's generally because she's an actress and a singer, so you have good odds on her.
Mm-hmm. All right. 866-901-ADAM. Not that we need your phone calls, because we only have one pair to give away. Oh, they're that precious. Nicaragua, name that tune. We have an intro?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now dig this, baby.
This is Oswaldo, Nicaragua, Ninatun.
All aboard. Ha, 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 ha. You can win ticket for the Grammys.
All right. Mario.
Hey, great. I have to win a chicken for the Grammys.
That's all right. Hey, where Ozzy comes from, that's worth a hell of a lot more than tickets. So, Mario, you ready to play?
I'm ready. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
We heard the tease. Let's hear it again.
Give me my pay with your finger. Singing my life with your war.
Mario?
Oh, my God. Oh, geez. Can I stall one more time, please?
I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay, great.
And I knew this without looking. Roberta Flack and then the Fugees.
Oh, that song that they sang, singing softly of their songs. Okay, I can sing it for you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, 0-1. Now listen, you got to go 3 out of 5 to walk with these Grammy tickets, so you have a chance.
All right. Singing softly. Something's.
Yeah.
Singing, I don't know the title. I don't know the title.
That was a weird, depressing song from my childhood.
Singing softly, Jesus.
I feel like from the age of 6 to age 11, I heard 1,000 songs about people breaking up, and I was like, wow. It's a bummer.
Killing me softly. Oh, my God.
All right, give it. Let's do the next one.
All right, thanks.
I love you.
Holy crap.
That's awesome.
I don't know that one.
Oh, you don't?
I do?
I don't think he knows that one.
Let me hear. Well, I know he doesn't know. He doesn't know where he is. Let's hear that one again. I see. Yeah, I know it. Okay.
I love you.
It was recorded by two very famous singers.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
I thought it was just one. All right.
I'll always love you.
Whitney. That's right. Whitney Houston. And who's that?
Dolly Parton wrote it and recorded it. Isn't that weird?
Sort of, yeah. But Dolly had a hit with it? Because I don't know the Dolly version of it.
I know she wrote it and recorded
it. Yeah,
it
was a hit.
It was a much bigger hit when Whitney did it.
Of course.
Well, Dolly's version wasn't a big hit, was it?
It was a big country hit.
Well, please. That's like saying, oh, they're the biggest band out of South America.
See?
Who the hell knows? All right, well, listen. So what are you, 1-1?
I think I won them. The chicken.
Let's go to the next one.
Give me your hair, make it real, or else forget about it.
There's a guy that kind of bothers me.
He does?
I don't know why. Mario?
I hope you're not talking about me.
No.
Okay, good. I do love the show. I've been listening since day one. You know what? That Rachel Perry girl, I don't know if Teresa's really that good or she just sounds so great compared to her, but I'm digging
it. Oh, it's Malo.
I miss that little girl.
Okay. One more time. I really wasn't.
Yeah, let's hear about Ozzy singing about Give Me Your Hair.
Give me your hair. Make it real or else forget about it.
Give me a heart, make it real.
I'm going to give you a clue, Mario. Yeah,
thank you.
And by the way, first off, Teresa and I aren't looking at the answers, and we know the answer, so that means you're officially lame. But this is a guy who, it's a pairing. It's a Latin guy pairing with an Anglo guy, both from different bands. Latin guy, older. I suspect he's bald because he always wears a funky hat, but who knows?
Great guitar player.
That's Santana and Rob Thomas.
All right. Wow.
Si, es bueno.
Are we spoon? We spoon fed you that one. This is one of those songs. Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe this is my problem. This is one of those songs where I go, all right, that's a pretty good song.
Yeah.
But there's no possible way I would ever buy that song and listen to it at home. I feel like those songs are made for the radio, and if I want to hear one of those songs, all I have to do is get in my car. I would never, ever listen to that song at home, or am I just that guy? Like, once in a while I hear the really popular stuff and I go, I understand it's really popular and gets a ton of airplay, but does anyone actually go out, buy the CD, and pop it on at their house? And I don't think they do. Like,
my mother.
Your mother? Does she?
I think it appeals to, adults.
Baby adult boomers.
Contemporary bands.
Well, I'm old and I enjoy the song. I just would never go get it. And then the other ones are those, what are those blowhard bands
out
of?
It's got no edge to it. It's got no edge. It's inoffensive.
People, I know, but it's not even a matter of good or bad. It's just like, you ever hear that music like, who's that J.O. band out of Canada where the guy's such an idiot and every song sounds alike and everyone universally hates them?
And they're, for the Weeknd?
Newer band. 5 years old, 8 years old. You know, Nickelback.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
The perfect
Does anybody ever go buy a Nickelback CD and pop it in at home? I mean, I know it's ubiquitous, and I know it's in every third video game, and I know it's in every third crappy movie, and I know it's on every third crappy radio station. But do you know a human being? Is there anyone you know who goes, I'm going to buy that Nickelback CD, and I'm going to pop it in, and I'm going to listen to it while I'm at home?
You are now forever, so I'll record that.
All right. What are you, two and one?
Yeah, I think I've got two.
All right, Mario. Let's hear. Let's keep going.
Cuckoo, cashew, Mr. Robinson. Jesus love you more than you know will know.
Mario?
Are these current songs?
Oh, come on, buddy.
I don't know if it's my connection or what, but I can barely hear him.
You need a connection in the music industry.
Yeah. Okay, let's hear it again. Please.
One more time.
Cuckoo, cashew, Mr. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you know will know.
Oh, that's that's the Lemonhead song. Mr. Robinson.
What? No, no.
It's bueno.
Wait a minute.
The Lemonheads?
No. They did it. They did a remake, I guess.
Do you know who did the original?
That's that old folk music singer.
A duo?
Mario. I'm looking at the screen. You're 38 years of age.
Evan Dando was the Lemonhead singer.
I can dig it.
He knows Evan Dando.
I can dig it. But if you were 19, I might be open to the discussion we're having. We're practically the same age. How is it you know so little about music from the past? Where did you grow up? On a kibbutz?
I didn't know Lemonheads.
So, something happened, though. You weren't exposed to music as a younger person, or did your folks, are they like Jehovah's Witnesses or Shakers or Mormons or something? Did they not have radios in your house? What happened?
That's probably not the type of music that was playing in my house. I guess they were more into like old school R&B classics. We really didn't hear all the K-Earth at my house. We had more of that.
If you understand, K-Earth is an oldie station, but in 1972, they didn't play songs from 1972. This is a song from 1972. You know what I mean? It wasn't oldies when you were a youngie. All right, well, listen. I'm tired of your excuses. All right, let's do one more.
Okay.
All right.
Did you ever know that you were my hero and everything I would like to be?
Oh, I got that one.
I know the Buzzcocks covered it.
But we need the Grammy winning version.
Late 80s. Dinosaur Jr.
That's right.
That's Hero by Enrique Iglesias.
Oh,
it's malo.
Hold on a second.
Wow.
This guy's awesome.
I feel like we need to convene in my chambers. Get busy, T. Start convening in my chambers.
Okay.
Now, this is either the smartest man and the fastest man on the planet or the dumbest man on the planet. Because you can't argue that he's completely out of it. He's able to connect things in a way that's we could never dream of.
Right.
There's a kind of a savantism here going on with music.
He has a recall of semi-obscure facts and figures, yet he can't associate them with what's actually happening in the world.
Right. Then the Iglesias song is not... It's got the word hero in it, but it's not, did you ever know, right?
Right.
All right, now what is he now? 3-2? Do we even have another song?
Yeah, we have plenty.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to give him a make or break, and then I'll... All right, now, Mario.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that is the Bette Midler hero one, not the Enrique Iglesias.
Wings. Right. That's Bette Midler. I got it now.
Right.
I heard his accent, and I heard hero. That's the obvious conclusion, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. That's the wind beneath. It's not. You never know. You're my.
Hair. It's called Wind Beneath My Wings, but it has a lyric. Did you ever know that you're my?
Okay, good. I made it into two songs. All right, one more. Make or break, Mario.
Okay, let's do it.
You get this, you got the Grammy tickets. If not, you walk.
I'm just an idiot.
Here we go. Well, shall you'll be an idiot at the Grammys too. Don't get me wrong.
Showing high, funky, and strong, and you fight. It doesn't matter. We'll run all right. Yes, we did.
Oh, do we have to go that far? Okay, Mario.
Let me see.
I'm going to give you a clue. We'll play it one more time.
Good. Thank you.
Don't listen to any of it. Just the last two words.
Showing high, funky, and strong, and you fight. It doesn't matter. We'll run all right. Yes, beat it.
Just beat it. That's beat it. Michael Jackson.
Yeah, there you go, Mario.
Bueno.
You are so lucky we got to take a commercial and then want to talk to anybody else.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
All right, brother. We'll either see you at the Grammys or we'll see the tickets on eBay.
Yeah, Sunday night on CBS, the Grammys.
Hang on, my brother. T.
Yep.
T's the news.
Oh, such a drinking, drugging, and rehab roundup. Eva Mendez, Kirsten Dunst, Heidi Fleiss, Scott Weiland, and of course this guy.
You never do something like that again. That is unacceptable behavior.
Oh, Scott Weiland.
Back in rehab.
Yeah, that was the guy who sung Me and Julio down by the schoolyard, according to Mario. All right, we'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
The Adam Carolla Show. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And coming up this morning, we'll sit down with comedian Harlan Williams.
This is getting funner and funner.
Joel McHale's in the studio to give us a peek at this week's The Soup.
Brittany, go to the light. Go to the light and see Jesus.
Tia Carrera joins us, and so does Jessica Alba.
You're pathetic. Can't get it up unless I scream.
Teresa Strasser's got the news.
Yeah, I can't possibly understand the game of sport with my vagina.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live. And I'm tired of talking.
All right, I agree with me and us.
So here he is, Adam Carolla.
Well, maybe my show, but now it's the favorite part of my show for moi. It is T and her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
You've probably seen the coverage of the tornadoes that ripped through five southern states this week. At least 57 people were killed.
Yeah, it's awesome because every time they have the news reporter out there standing in Hurricane or Tornado Alley, he always says the same thing. You know what strikes me, Jim, is the random nature of this. On the right side of the street, total devastation. Houses torn from their foundation, livestock tossed into trees, witches on bicycles, flying in circles. Left side of the house, manicured lawns, lawn jockeys in place, curtains up, not touched. So the random, every time, can we get over that part?
Yeah, acts of God are random. Weather is random.
Not only that, but the hurricane seems to have, or the tornado, or twister, or whatever it is, seems to have a base that's only so wide. So it can go down a street, tear up one house, and then houses. And by the way, should I keep going with your math? Because I live in California, and my house wasn't affected at all by the tornado.
That's so amazing. In
so
one state.
Connie, it is random. If you... Bill, turn the camera, pan to the left. Oh, you see the house? 200 yards to my left? Devastated. Now, that house, 8 miles to my right? Not touched. Jeez, what else works that way? Everything. Fires work that way. Weather works that way. Meteor showers work that way. Everything works that way. The guy who was gunned down in the 7-Eleven parking lot... There's a guy to his left and a guy to his right. Yes, we understand. The entire nation was not hit by a tornado. But that's always the big story. And I know, they found a kid.
Really makes you think.
It does make you think. And if it could happen in Tornado Alley, it could happen anywhere. Mm.
they did find a kid out of the devastation. One of the tornadoes tore through the small town of Castalian Springs, Tennessee, and leveled houses to the point that it wasn't even clear where the houses had originally stood. 24-year-old mom, Carrie Stoll, was at home with her 11-month-old son, Kyson. Kyson. K-Y-S-O-N.
Christ. I mean, look, don't get
Definitely
me wrong.
Definitely not a Jew.
It's still not a bad thing he survived, but Kyson...
Yeah, little
Kyson.
For
the love of Christ.
Well, the mom was 24, you know? She was young.
There's no excuse for Kyson. And by the way, I don't want that explanation either, where you go, Kyson. And you go, well, my husband wanted to name it a Tyson.
Kyle.
And then Kylie, if it was a girl, yeah, I understand. That doesn't mean you get to mash up the two names.
Or better yet, it's Gaelic.
Everybody has that, yeah, even more retarded. Everyone has that story where they go, if it was a girl, we're going to name her Serena. And if it was a guy, we're going to name him Tim. So we named him Sarim. And it's like, right, but it was a guy, right? You know, you're trying to make a hermaphrodite? Like, you knew what the sex. You saw the ding-a-ling when it came out, right?
Sometimes they mash up the mother and father's name, like Jamie Lynn Spears.
Yeah. Listen, you're coming. This is, I know I'm bitter because I'm a guy who has no middle name because parents just...
You're jealous. They forgot.
How
should I know?
Hey, you got a first name, buddy. We were just going to call you that.
That. When was that born?
Hey, that crapped himself.
How much did that weigh at birth?
Hey, yeah, I don't think that'll be going to college.
Hey, do we have a bedroom for that, or should we just put that in the utility closet?
That one in one of those race car beds. That'll be a cold day in hell. And then a big laugh.
In the bathroom, the towel say his, hers, and that's.
That.
Well,
sorry. Yeah, the kid survived. Kyson.
Little Kyson.
Kyson.
Survived. And Kyson was found 300 feet from his house.
Wow.
Face down in the mud where he'd been flung by the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
The firemen were searching and they saw a stroller. They thought it was a baby doll. But it was baby Kyson.
He's a little miracle baby now. Yeah. They're calling him the miracle baby.
That's right.
It's going to be sad 18, 19 years from now when miracle baby's beating the crap out of his girlfriend. It's got to be ironic for her.
Yeah, whatever happened to Miracle Baby?
Wow, there's a drunk Miracle Baby who's beating the crap out of me.
Irony.
That's a lot of pressure. I don't need that Miracle Baby title.
Yeah, well, remember Baby, what was the one in the well? Baby Jessica? Mm,
that's right.
Sometimes they do a Where Are They Now with all these Miracle Babies.
Yeah, what's she doing, cramping out 8 other Miracle Babies?
Well, do you want to hear the sound of his grandfather?
Yeah, let me hear a little Kyson's.
Right, here's Douglas Stoll, Kyson's grandpappy, talking about how lucky he is that his little grandson survived.
Look, God watching over him. It's all it can be. The devastation is just incredible right there. I'm sure all y'all have seen it. Their house is completely gone, just clean as that floor right there. There ain't nothing sticking up or nothing.
So Larry the Cable Guy's her dad, her grandfather, get her done.
Here's your sign.
Look, I know it's easy for us folks in the blue states to make fun, and you see these TV movies, and you hear these comedians, and you go, oh, please, what year are we in? This is not done this way. And then you turn on CNN, and you see the tornado that went through Missouri, and you see a bunch of guys. I heard a guy yesterday actually say yonder.
Over yonder.
Yonder, I seen. When I hear seen, I know I'm in for a good ride.
Right.
I seen it coming yonder. It's like, this guy was like the, he was like the city attorney, too. I mean, this guy was high ranking. Yeah.
All right. Well, time for the drinking and rehab roundup.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like every day. And sometimes it's the unexpected. Eva Mendez was kind of surprising to me. Although apparently she's taking a break from rehab. She was spotted at Los Angeles International Airport on Wednesday, but she's not finished with rehab. She's taking a short break. Her reps say that she left to attend to some personal business, and she'll return to her rehab facility in Utah shortly. Entertainment Tonight says
what
Eva...
What kind of personal business? What's going on?
By the way, you
want to talk about entitled, like someone's in rehab in Utah and you're like, hey, Eva, remember you said you're going to pick me up at the airport a few months ago or you're going to help me move? Is there anyone that wouldn't understand rehab?
Right.
No one gives anyone a pass?
Unless you have a funeral to go to, you should probably stay in rehab.
I guess. I would say funeral would be the only excuse, and then that is fly in, go to the funeral, go right back to the airport, right?
And in some cases, be accompanied by somebody from the rehab center. Well, her reps, or actually Entertainment Tonight, is reporting that she's there because she's being treated for depression. Now, maybe she was treating herself by self-medicating that depression.
Yes, because I'm trying to do the retarded publicist
math
on that, because, you know, like when you're in your band and you're treated for dehydration or exhaustion, that's drug abuse. But depression, yeah, so that's probably prescription medication. Okay.
All right.
I don't know what bugs me about her. What bugs me about her?
Well, even though I loved Hitch, she's not a great actress.
All right, crappy actress. What else?
I don't know. She doesn't annoy me.
I've heard her do interviews, and she's a little actressy.
She might be a little actressy.
And that bugs me.
You know who does kind of bug me, and I hate to say it?
Ghost Rider, did it.
Yeah.
Oh, Ghost Rider. Roxanne Simpson. Oh, my God. Can I just say this? I know I say it every time Ghost Rider comes up. Here's how effing stupid Hollywood is. Her name in that movie is Roxanne Simpson. She is a news reporter from the state of Texas. Now, I don't know if you guys checked recently, but the state of Texas has a lot of Hispanic folks. Eva Mendez, wait a minute, Mendez, there's a Hispanic name, and there's nothing that states with lots of Hispanic folks like to do better than throw one of their own up as a news reporter. It's what we do here in Los Angeles. It keeps the natives from getting restless or something. Her name was Roxanne Simpson. She wasn't married. She wasn't divorced. She didn't keep the name. There was no explanation. It was just Simpson. What it was is they wanted a blonde chick to play that role. Five chicks passed on it, and they ended up with Eva Mendez. But instead of fixing the script and giving her a last name that would have been Hernandez or Gomez or something that looked like she looked, those retards just stayed with the world's whitest name, Simpson.
I just had a thought, and I confirmed it on Wikipedia. Roxanne Simpson's the name of the character from the original comic book. They probably would have offended or pissed off the fans. I changed. It's like Mary Jane Watson. You wouldn't change her name just because she was
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Black chick?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Spider-Man.
So they had to do it to stay true to it. Still,
I'm sure that's their reasoning. I don't think a lot of Ghost Rider fans are
still a bum
outside the studio.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Is also reportedly in rehab.
Don't like her.
Oh. Scott Weiland.
Not good looking enough to be a leading lady.
Kirsten. Yeah, I find her a little bit annoying. And I don't know why. She's never done anything to me.
Sure.
Scott Weiland back in rehab.
Hey, there's a shocker. Scott Weiland's a great guy, but he is an addict, and it is sad.
Velvet Revolver is supposed to start a tour of Australia and Europe next Friday. No word yet if they'll be canceling any of those dates.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi Fleiss. Heidi Fleiss arrested yesterday in Pahrump, Nevada on DUI and drug possession charges.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Police didn't have enough.
Police pulled Heidi over after getting a call about a possible drunk driver. They found her in possession of prescription narcotics. They didn't say what drug specifically, for which she had no prescription. She was booked on charges of driving without a license, possession of dangerous drugs without a prescription, being under the influence of a controlled substance, and driving under the influence of a controlled substance. I said that twice. A passenger in her car was also arrested for being under the influence.
Well, you have to be high. I mean, you have to... Yeah, you have a drunken madam. I mean, if Heidi Fleiss is going to be behind the wheel, how high do you... You know, to toss the keys to Heidi Fleiss and say you drive, of course you're high, right?
Yeah, when that's the better option, you must be pretty high.
Yeah, if there was a priest in the passenger seat, I would have given him a breathalyzer and then arrested him, right?
Right.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you saw Celebrity Rehab last night.
Mm-mm.
Jeff Conaway continues to struggle, although he seemed to be having a better time of it until his enabling girlfriend stopped by. She had what appeared to be some vitamin water, and he started suspecting it had alcohol in it. So he said, "Give me a sip of that water." Kept telling, you know, asking for it, and she said, "Oh, there's nothing in here." Then she took a sip of it and apparently was filled with vodka. So he called her very angry on the phone.
So who took a sip of it? She took
Jeff Conaway took a sip of his girlfriend's water. Apparently she had smuggled alcohol with
her. She's a delight. Yes. All right, let's hear it.
Almighty, are you going to do this to me? You going to f*** my day up? I don't need... You never do something like that again. You never do something like that again. That is unacceptable behavior.
that the doctor you're yelling at like that?
If I told them, they would never let you back on the unit. And what
when
kind
he
of
says unit, he means.
Is that? I'm sitting here struggling for my life, and you're around.
When he says they, he means testicles.
I did not want they. You to bring drink on the unit.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Excuse
and
me,
when he says
do you
drink.
Understand you have any idea what that does to me? Ooh. I'm an alcoholic, don't you understand yet?
Yeah.
I'm really just starting to think there's certain people on the planet that just need a certain amount of drama in their life, and he may be one of them.
Very dramatic man.
And then he found one in her, and now they get to just dance. Oh, my God. I feel like he should be carrying a skull around and wearing a cape. Because he never stops acting. Like, he goes down the hall to take a leak, and he should win an Academy Award. He's like, oh, the pain. Oh, the humanity. What doth scent come forth from yon urinal cake? As I maketh the number one. Then he speaks into the skull. Oh, my kingdom for Percocet. Dr. Drew doth speaketh to me in a tone that would tear the heart out of a bull. Oh, my lower lumbar. What? Yon light comes through yonder window? Yes, an escape. But when? Think, Jeffeth. Tonight, under the cover, while the orb is dark and the sky is turned, an umber hue. I will upscant. What's that word I'm thinking of? I will maketh my way from yonder facility back to my town and nuzzle the bosom of the chick with the vodka and the fido water. A plague! A plague on you and your house! Oh, humanity. Thank you.
I don't even have to play another clip of him now because that's basically last night's show.
I want to hear another clip.
Although he did a group process, you know, where they all share, and his was in iambic pentameter, which I thought was pretentious.
Oh, wow.
Do we have another clip of him?
Let's play one more.
I don't think we do. We have Mary Carey, and we have...
Well, let's hear Mary Carey.
Let's hear Mary Carey. Well, I should explain. Daniel Baldwin left last week. He left the show. He said it wasn't conducive to his sobriety. And then it came out that he'd been text messaging Mary Carey. Mm. And he'd been asking her to go in the bathroom and take pictures of herself. And he was wanting to send pictures of himself.
Hey, T-Bone, hate to cut you off, but Jessica Alba... Oh. One of the few stars that's not currently in rehab is on. So how about we talk to her and then we'll hear that Mary Carey clip next. Jessica?
Hello?
Jessica Alba?
Hello?
From the Eye?
How are you?
Good, Jessica. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Where are you now?
I'm at my house.
Mm-hmm. And you live out in Los Angeles full-time?
I do. Where do you guys live?
Well, I'm up in the Hollywood Hills area myself, and Teresa Strasser is somewhere between Koreatown and San Francisco. Where do you live, Dee?
I just moved from Koreatown to Los Feliz. You know that area, Jessica?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Los Feliz is very hip.
A lot of celebrities live up there.
Yeah, that's the hot spot these days.
It's kind of like the straight Silver Lake, except for with bigger lots. So, Jessica, there's a couple things I was thinking about. First off, how's the pregnancy going?
It's going pretty good.
When, if you don't mind me asking, how far along are you?
I'm in my second trimester.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, it was about six months in. I just had twins, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, are you excited?
Well, the bloom is off the rose because it's been about 20 months since they've been on the planet. But I dig it. I really do.
That's awesome. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I know. I have to pay this Mexican lady a ton of money to raise my kids. But now you, well, you're 26, right?
Yep.
So fairly young, by Hollywood standards at least, to be having kids.
I'll be 27 when I have to be.
Oh, so you'll be an old maid when you're a mom. Was this always something you were leaning toward? Because I feel like a lot of actresses don't want to do this. They feel like it's going to put their career on hold.
No, I've always wanted to be a mother. Yeah, this is, it's kind of perfect. And with, you know, with all these strikes, the writer's strike and the actor's strike that might be coming up, it's a little bit slow in the business, so it's kind of perfect timing.
Well, as far as the writer's strike goes, and someone like you who is prolific, I mean, you make two or three movies a year, or so it seems, does something like this writer's strike have an effect down the road for you? Are scripts that would normally be coming in for movies you would be doing a year from now not going to be there?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, everything's really put on hold. But we have to stand by the writers. So, you know, I'm all for supporting the union and supporting, you know, what they need as far as residuals go.
How about writing yourself? Do you ever do any of that?
No, I leave that to the writers.
So, are you...
You do little bits of you know, tweaks here and there, but...
Right.
I leave the bulk of it to the writers.
And what, I mean, even though you're young, you've been around for a good, feels like 10 years in this business.
Yeah, a little bit longer.
Do you want to get into producing, into directing? I mean, most people that
definitely
have been...
Definitely into producing. That's the first step. We'll see about directing, but for sure, producing.
And... Yeah. I was talking to somebody who, I don't know, they said they knew you, and they said she's really nice, and she's sort of a businesswoman. She does her movies, she does her TV, she saves her money, and she's got a good head for business.
Yeah.
Was that a good description of you?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I look at this business as a business. It's not really a lifestyle. It doesn't define me. It's fun to do, and it's satisfying at you know, most of the time. So, but it definitely doesn't define me. I do look at it as a business.
And is sort of the plan to sock away a bunch of money and then go behind the scenes, or would you like to be in front of the camera for the next 20 years?
Well, you know, behind the camera, you make a lot more money.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I think behind the camera, you potentially could make more money. It's like owning your own business. You could potentially make a lot of money, or the restaurant could close.
Yeah, and then if it closes, then you just jump into something else. And hopefully, you know, when you get to a certain point, you're surrounding yourself with people that are making, you know, as for sure things as you possibly can.
Well, your story is you're a Air Force brat, right?
Yeah, I am.
And your dad was moving around from, like, Mississippi to Texas, and they came out. Your family came out to Southern California. Where was your dad stationed?
Biloxi, Mississippi, and Del Rio, Texas, which I just saw No Country for Old Men, and Del Rio is all up in that movie.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you recognize it from your childhood?
Yeah, I was like, oh, Lord.
And it's I'll tell you what's most depressing about No Country for Old Men, great movie, but I didn't even know it was a period piece until halfway into the movie.
Oh.
I just thought that's what Texas looked like in 07.
Right, and you just thought Javier Bardem had bad, evil hair.
That hair.
How scary was that, Jessica?
So scary.
I thought, yeah, he just went to the Supercuts in Waco or something and got jobbed.
Speaking of scary, tell us about The Eye.
Yeah, The Eye is a very scary movie. It's a remake of a Chinese horror movie. It's like The Grudge or The Ring. And it's about a woman who is blind, my character, has a corneal transplant, gains her sight, but also gains her psychic abilities that her donor has to see death before it happens. And people who have...
So it's a documentary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. People... I'm sorry, Jessica.
Transplants get these cellular memories, they're called.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this. Yeah,
somebody who, you know, gets a liver transplant, you know, never liked desserts, right. And their donor loved desserts, only ate sweet stuff. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're eating sweet stuff. or if someone, you know, was a health nut their whole life, they'll all of a sudden pick up smoking down to, like, the same brand.
Really?
Yeah.
I love those stories. It's like when they hear about identical twins that were separated at birth, and it turns out they both married women that are named Sarah, and they both work for a post office, but they're 10,000 miles apart.
Isn't that so weird?
I love that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, my stepdad got a kidney transplant, and he only used to like Westerns.
Mm.
And when he got the new kidney, which was from a female donor, he started liking chick flicks.
Really?
Yeah.
I got a blood transfusion from a gay guy shortly. Well,
oh.
I'm not comfortable, but that's when I turned the corner.
And Jessica, your character plays the violin?
Yeah, she plays the violin. Mm-hmm.
So can you play?
I learned. I did about 6 months of training to learn. Because, you know, you want to be as believable as possible in these movies. And it was tough.
Now, did you stay with it?
Hell no.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I know. It's made for Asians and people with no social life.
It's made for people who want to practice 8 hours a day.
Although, I will say this. There's a overwhelming majority of hot violin chick violinists.
Right.
I know that is a little bumpy, but you know, you turn on television every once in a while and they have some big Philharmonic and they show the chicks and you're like, why is somebody that good looking, that good on that instrument? And then you think, well, maybe their teeth were screwed up in high school or something.
Well, because, you know, when you're a soloist, that's like, that you're sort of the star, and violin is, you know, one of those instruments where you can be a soloist.
Oh, so maybe there is a, like, prom queen aspect to it.
Sure, plus,
they look very sexy when they're playing.
I totally agree. I know, there's something about a woman clamping her chin down on a folded-up towel that makes me hot. It's a weird instrument that you have to hold in place with your chin. I like that. It's like you're talking on a phone in the 70s for hours at a time. By the way, you know the invention I miss, Jessica Alba?
What is it?
Remember that big stick-on, big foam rubber thing they put on the phone? Remember when you were a kid? Remember the old phones that had that big rubber wedge on there?
Yeah.
I miss that thing.
You know what I need it, though, is on the cell phone.
I'm going to stick one of those on my cell phone. Do you know, by the way...
Just, like, get up with it and get a Bluetooth and call it a day.
I don't know, because I think I'm going to get brain cancer or something.
Me too. That's why I won't get it.
Maybe this will be our next project. We use the Bluetooth... Our brains swell from the radiation, and then we're able to communicate, but only you and I without the Bluetooth.
No,
it's not going to work. All right, your publicist is yelling at our phone screener to get you off the phone. Hey, Jessica Alba?
Yes?
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. Good luck with your twins.
Thank you. Good luck with your singlet. We'll arrange a play date.
All righty. Take care, guys.
Good timings.
Bye.
I said good timings. The Eye, everybody, out in theaters as we speak.
Hmm.
Oh, she's nice. Maybe I'll get her out of the volcano.
I think you should pull her out. I was very impressed with her. She was not what I expected at all.
Oh, she's exactly what I expected.
Really? I thought when she was gung-ho about the writer's strike, that really won me over. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh, party line.
It is the party line, but she was articulate about it.
Yeah, nice.
Learned to play the violin.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't take her.
All right, I may get her out. Hey, T.
Yep.
Good news. Harlan Williams is here, number one. Number two, you got the rest of your news to finish, so let's take a break. You do the rest of the news. We'll play that Mary Carey. Now, who's that Mary Carey again?
Mary Carey? Oh,
her dad was an announcer for the Cubs all those years?
No, she's actually an adult.
Holy cow.
Not that one. Mm-hmm. She's actually an adult film star.
Adult? What do you mean, Jessica? Alba's an adult.
Right,
she's
that's a euphemism. She's in pornography, Mary Carey. She's in.
What is this you called again? Say it one more time.
Pornography.
Okay, keep going. I'm intrigued.
People have sex on camera and then they sell.
People have sex on a camera?
They have.
I understand a futon.
Oh,
maybe
this is very confusing. Maybe during the commercial, Brian can explain.
And what do they do? You're saying they film these people having
sex? They film people having sex and they
and
sell it.
And then what? They sell it? To
they
whom?
Sell it. Adults. That's why it's adult film industry.
And you would sell me a tape of you having intercourse?
It would be me. It would be Mary Carey, for example.
Well, she would sell me a tape of you having intercourse?
No, they have their entire companies. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. They sell tapes of people having sex.
I don't know about this. What'd you call it one more time?
Pornography.
And would you find this in one of those houses that rents the books?
What?
You're talking about the library.
Mm-hmm.
Generally not.
Mm-hmm.
No, because it's for adults and kids are often in the buildings with the books, the library.
Okay, so this would be for people that were older.
Right.
60s, 70s?
No, just adults. Uh-huh. I'd say 18 and over.
And where does one find this pornography?
Well, you know that magic box that Ryan types on mm-hmm. to get facts and information?
Boy. Yeah.
A lot of pornography is available on your personal computer. On the World Wide Web.
It's in the computer?
It's in the computer. This is... And would you need a special pornography, as you call it, computer? Or would any computer work?
Any computer would work.
Huh. Mary...
Carrie.
Does these sorts of movies.
Very famous for doing these sorts of movies. Okay. Blonde with big fake boobs.
Large boobs?
Yeah.
And they allow her in these pornography films with the big boobs?
Almost every woman in these pornography films has big fake boobs.
Okay. I'm confused and intrigued. I'd like to hear more about this pornography.
Pornography.
Okay. We will take ourselves and her parents. They're aware of this?
In the case of Mary Carey, yes.
What?
I think they are.
And they're in the movies with her?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that would be inappropriate.
But surely they would have to sign something to let their daughter do this pornographer.
No.
What?
No, they don't.
No.
Okay. And then why do people look at this stuff?
Well, from what I understand, they look at it as an aid to help them. Brian, help me out. When you're trying to pleasure yourself,
You're not allowed to use your hand?
Well, you do. And in addition to that, a lot of people like looking at pornography.
Mm.
They feel it helps them get excited.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll talk more about this new pornography.
Pornography.
Right. When we come back, we'll hear the clip from... Mary Carey.
Right.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Also, we'll bring in Harlan Williams, who maybe he's made some of these pornography films. We'll talk to him about that. We'll do that next.
We're back
with more right after this on The Adam Carolla Show. This is The Adam Carolla Show.
Everybody's doing something. Fat people getting their stomach stapled. Hey, here's a clue. Chubby, why don't you go one step further? Get your lips welded shut. People want to stay young forever using wrinkle cream. Wrinkle cream doesn't work. Take it from me. I've been using it for 2 years. My still look like raisins.
Harlan Williams is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Harlan.
Great to see you, sugar twin.
Hey.
Wow. You look hot and spicy today.
You're looking good, too, Harlan.
I am.
I saw Harlan from across the hall and realized he must be dating a hot young chick because he's put together.
Yeah.
He smells of cologne. He's got a hip goatee going.
Yeah.
Looks like he's been working out.
Very fit looking. What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah.
Well, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So I'm looking so good because I'm dating a fat, ugly girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're overcompensating.
Yeah, but she's great, man. Because you ever go out with a girl with giant cellulite welts in her legs?
Sure.
And it's great because I hate carrying around my cell phone and my car keys and stuff, and I can store them in her cellulite welts.
It's like you're dating a roll top desk.
Exactly. With lots of extra rolls. It's weird, though. Sometimes I'll come home. She loves to eat, and she'll eat anything, man. Like, the other day, I came home, and part of the couch was hanging out of the side of her mouth.
Good gravy. She ate the sofa?
She ate the sofa.
Well, maybe there were crumbs in the cushion she was trying to get to.
I think that's it. She was sucking them up like a dirt devil from... Chinatown.
Dirt devil.
She likes to wear the animal print dresses.
Slimming. You
know, the leopard. Sure. I came up, she had the leopard dress on. I said, you want to go out to the club and do some dancing? She goes, no, let's go to the zoo. I want to bag a zebra. What the hell?
A hand of God, true story, right?
Oh, yeah, and the other night I came home, she was up in the tree with a baby gazelle just eating its throat in her tiger dress. What the hell?
I don't feel like I could be a leopard just for that one reason. Like, if you took a gazelle carcass and you said, yeah, I need you to hoist it up to that top branch, I'd be like, no, can do.
Oh, you said leopard.
Yeah, or whatever.
Okay, because I got, this is fun. Could, do you ever date girls on the side?
Sure, you mean outside of the marriage?
Outside of your wife. Here,
course.
This is fun, because most guys, no, this is a good treat. This is for you and your listeners. Mm-hmm. And the janitor I see standing outside the window.
It's Joel McHale.
Yes, Joel.
Oh. He's on the suit.
But go ahead.
Here's what you do, because most of the guys don't like it when the girls, you pick them up at the bar, you bring them home, and then most of the time you don't want them to stay overnight, right?
Right.
So you have your fun, and then after they want the cuddle time. So after you've had your fun, in between that and the cuddle time, go to your freezer and get like five or six jumbo frozen shrimp, right? And you de-thaw them, just run them under the water,
right?
And then when you come back into the darkly lit
room. I don't
want
to correct you, but I think de-thawing something is freezing something.
What? Wait, what now?
I think you just thaw them.
You don't
you mean
de-thaw?
Defrost? Do you mean defrost?
Yeah, but it's an interesting combination. Yeah.
Well, what if you
change the subject?
What if you declaw a cat? You're taking the claws out, right?
Well, that's a decent part. But yeah, decent point, yeah.
But if you de-thaw, aren't you de-thawing a jumbo shrimp?
I think it's saying, like, you're an ex-Vietnam vet, which is to say you're just a Vietnam vet.
Oh, so I'm a dumb.
No, you're just dumb. You don't need
just
the extra dumb.
I
don't,
you know, a lot of people say irregardless.
Yes.
What's that
it's
mean?
It's just regardless.
Oh. Irregardless, you were de-thawing the jumbo shrimp.
Oh.
We're sorry.
Okay, so I should have just said thaw the jumbo shrimp.
Yeah, but that's all right. We're not going to live in the past.
So the chick's laying in bed. You want her to go home.
And you got the jumbo shrimp.
You got the jumbo shrimp, and you sneak back into the darkened room, and you throw the jumbo shrimp under the sheets. And you just lay there for a few minutes, and she can feel them on her legs and stuff, and then you... Yeah, you tell her, did I tell you about my leprosy?
Every time.
Yeah, they're out the door faster than a Korean Walmart shopper at a Filipino sandblaster festival.
Grandpa used to use that one. Harlan Williams in studio. Harlan is going to be at the Melrose Improv this, by the way, tonight through tomorrow night. Now, T, you had the rest of the news.
Yeah.
Harlan, you're good at this. You hang in with us. And you comment on the news. You
I
make
jump
funny
in.
Comments. Right.
I de-news.
We were talking about Mary Carey from Celebrity Rehab.
You watch that show, Harlan?
I've seen little snippets of it. It's too hard for me to watch.
It's painful.
Yeah.
Do you know Mary Carey?
No.
She stars in many adult films.
Okay.
And she's in the Celebrity
Rehab.
There's
a business called pornography.
Pornography.
I don't know what it's called exactly. T says it's where people get naked and they have sex with each other while somebody else films it, and then they go ahead and sell it to their parents.
Wow.
I may have screwed up one part of that, but either way, there's people that are getting naked and having intercourse with each other while I'm assuming a third guy films it. Yes.
Right, a crew films it.
They're not uncomfortable having sex in front of the one guy with the camera?
It's a giant crew, usually. You know, a couple guys with cameras and a sound guy.
Well, anyway...
That's the one job where you never want to have a sick day. You never hear a guy go, I'm not going in today. I got the flu.
Yeah.
I'd go in every day.
I'm not up to watching hot chicks have sex while somebody pays me.
No. Yeah. But you'd go in and do it, wouldn't you?
I've been to the set of one of these movies once.
You have?
Yes, I have.
With Harry Carey?
No.
Mary Carey?
No.
Holy cow.
I think it was Jenna Jameson.
And did you watch the activities?
First off, it was in the San Fernando Valley in a warehouse with no ventilation. You know when you take a group of folks and you put them in a room and the room starts getting really gamey because they've been sitting around like in a small theater where the air hasn't been turned on? Try having those group of folks hump each other and see how gamey it gets. I hung out for like 7.5 hours and nothing happened, and eventually I just went home and had myself.
smells like loving in here.
My girlfriend was a makeup artist on a few porns. That is a job you might want to call in sick for, yeah. Because between scenes,
yeah.
And she refused to do any cleanup. She just threw some baby wipes.
A makeup artist.
Right. Not enough foundation to make that shanker go away, baby.
Right.
All right. Now, Mary Carey.
He's on Celebrity Rehab.
Right.
And Daniel Baldwin used to be on Celebrity Rehab, but he left under a cloud of suspicion that perhaps he might have been inappropriately hitting on Mary Carey. He's married, and at the time the Celebrity Rehab was shooting, his wife was pregnant.
Oh, boy.
Here's Mary Carey.
Here's Mary Carey.
One of the people on the show always talks about how much he loves his wife constantly, and then he started just asking me different questions about the industry, telling me different stories, and then, you know, we went out on the porch to smoke a cigarette, and he whispered, "Send me some pictures." And I was like, because I have my camera phone, so I was like, "Send him some pictures."
Why is he saying that now?
And he started text messaging me to go into the bathroom, and then you had like these weird ones, like. And he'd ask him about different movies of mine, where he could get them. And now I see why he don't want us to have them.
Right. So I was talking to Sharon about the craziness of this situation.
Well, he ended up making me feel guilty. I think that I made him start thinking about using it. Because then he started saying he felt like he had to use. Like,
he put a lot of pressure on
you. Yeah, because
you
I started thinking like sex drive, and he started feeling guilty about his wife, which made him start thinking about using.
And by the way, Baldwin needs a heads up on where to get porn. Where are these movies found? Why? Churches, youth groups. Where would I get one of these movies of yours?
On the World Wide Web.
You can't figure that one out, Baldwin?
Well, wow. I guess in rehab, they take away the porn and, you know, they probably limit access to the internet, so.
You'd have to put my head in a vice in order to take away my porn. Do you know what I'm saying?
Do you have a big collection?
You can never take away my porn. It's all stored up here.
Oh.
That's my hard drive, brother.
Right. Your brain is
you. Yeah, you know those movies where they lock the guy up? He's an innocent man, and they throw him on Devil's Island, and he says to, you know, the warden at the end, "You can lock me up. You can take away my car, my house, but what's in here, you can never get." Well, he's talking about porn.
Yeah.
That's what I say to the warden.
Wow, how much do you have stored up in there, Wild Fingers?
Oh, I don't know how many gigabytes or mega drives I have, but let's just say when the warden says, "Corolla, you just bought a month in the hole," I'm like, "How about 6 months?"
Wow, I wondered why your hair was standing up on end this morning.
That's right.
You got a whole bunch of porn stored up in that
crankcase.
You can
never take it away. I take it everywhere I go.
God love
you. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear a story about a pot bust?
Yeah.
Okay, last November, police in Corvallis, Oregon.
Take that with me, too.
Made the biggest indoor marijuana bust of at least the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It happened at the home of 37-year-old Eric Michaelis. This guy had pot plants in every room of his house. Some were 4 feet high. In total, he was growing 230 plants. He even had a heavy-duty backup generator for all the UV lamps needed to grow the pot plants indoors.
Now, would some of the folks that were in this pornography industry smoke marijuana cigarettes, for instance, in order to somehow give themselves a state of mind that made it okay for them to have sexual intercourse in front of this cameraman?
That is an excellent insight, although it's pornography.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would guess that a lot of people in the pornography industry do alter themselves with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. I don't feel like pot is the right high for porn.
Well, did you hear what gave this guy away at all his pot in his house? The scarecrow. The guy had a friggin' scarecrow in his living room.
Really?
Yeah.
It was actually like a sharecropper.
Yeah.
What would that scare? Now, it was to stop the crows from coming by.
How dare you get it out of me? How dare you?
You're never going to believe how this guy was caught. It was not.
It wasn't a scarecrow?
It wasn't a scarecrow, though we do love when you do the sound.
Mm-hmm.
This man had an outstanding tax bill. He owed the IRS $600. So rather than send a check, he went to a local tax clerk and he paid his bill in cash. The clerk could not help but notice that the money itself reeked of marijuana.
Yeah,
wow. Dude.
Yeah. So the police executed a search warrant on Eric's house based on his cash reeking of pot. In addition to the marijuana, they found $65,000 in cash, which he's had to forfeit. This man, Eric, has been sentenced to 16 months in the slammer on multiple drug convictions.
Could we just go ahead and legalize pot? What year are we in?
Dudeseldorf.
I'm telling you.
Is it legal in Dudeseldorf?
Yeah.
Hey, Lederhosen.
Here, look, here's my point. If you would have told my mom and her friend Happy and her friend Axis and her friend Zorback and her friend Sunshine
freak out
in 1973 that in 08,
yeah.
in 08, your precious pot will still be illegal, they would have fallen on their bongs and killed themselves right then and there on the spot. Like, 08, the idea that it was another decade, or I should say another new millennium, and we're actually still arguing about this retarded marijuana. Just legalize it. Who cares, for the love of Christ?
Well, don't the duchies have it's legal in the duchies run around in their wooden clogs and smoke the reef?
They got the reefer legal over there, and they got the prostitution legal over there, and all it did was help tourism.
Double duchy.
Pot never did anything to anybody.
They got windmills and stuff.
I know.
You could get high and go stand in the lilies and watch the windmill twirl
with your
around.
Wooden shoes
with
on.
With your wooden shoes. And then you could slide down the street in your wooden shoes like Gumby.
Put your thumb in a dike.
Ugenschlagen, de Freugen schlagen. Ugenschlagen, de Freugen, de windmill schlagen.
Dieseldorf.
It's Dieseldorf.
It's Doozle.
It's Doozle.
Our Hesher producer, Dawson, is from Dieseldorf.
I'm from Dieseldorf.
And he likes to say Lederhosen when he leaves the room. Please.
After you force him to.
Lederhosen.
Have you ever seen one of those windmills?
I've seen a windmill, but I don't know if I've seen those.
Like the old wooden ones that twirl around?
Like in Solvang.
Yeah, I guess I have. They used to have Vandy Camp bakeries out here.
Old
and
Dutch.
They had fake windmills that stood up there, and then chicks who dressed like Dutch women who gave you pancakes, but that's as close as I ever got.
Imagine you're a blue heron migrating to Florida, and you fly into a windmill propeller.
Yeah.
What a downer.
What would that sound like?
Oh, a helicopter.
How about the crow into the windmill?
No more crow.
Come
you got
on,
enough.
Dance,
what would it
dance.
Sound like if I threw a crow into a wood chipper?
No, I'm not. No more crow.
What would it sound like if I freehanded a crow with a fungo bat out to short left field?
I'll leave you with that. I'm Teresa Strasser. That was the news fueled by MSN.com. Have you gone to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Harlan Williams in studio. Harlan will be at the Melrose Improv. That is in Hollywood. That is tonight, tomorrow night, Friday and Saturday night. Two shows on Saturday.
Yeah. I've seen Harlan at the Melrose Improv. He kills.
What do you do in between the shows? Like when you do two shows, you have a couple hours?
Yeah. I like to go shoplifting at the mall.
And you eat and you hang out.
No, I just go straight to the Pottery Barn and steal candles.
Well, Fred Siegel's right down the street. You could shoplift there.
Yeah, that's a good place.
That's a building that's covered in ivy.
Yeah. Mm.
You ever make candles?
I think somewhere in the early 70s, we were convinced that we're all going to have to live off the land in 20 years, so everyone made everything. You'd make your own beer, make your own candles. There were things called Heath kits where you'd like build your own alarm clock and stuff like that. But sand candles got very popular for like 8 months in the 70s. I don't know why. Usually crap covered with sand is not a good thing. Like sand bagels, not good. Yeah. Sand sandals, ironically, not good.
Sand bagel sounds like an ethnic slur, but I don't know why. Yeah.
I was at the airport and a handful of these sand bagels pulled up behind me.
Oh my God.
You can't trust them.
I gotta tell you, I was in first class, but I had my eye on these sand bagels.
Oh.
One of these sand bagels got up to use the head in first class, and believe me, I jumped up and pulled a spork on his beady-eyed ass.
Oh, onion sand bagel.
Look, I'm sorry. Call me old-fashioned, but I don't want to be flying around with a bunch of sand bagels trying to decide what building to fly into.
Wow.
Sorry. I'm no Archie Bunker, but I know a sand bagel when I smell one.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
I make candles out of my earwax.
Oh,
and then when I come home, my house smells like the inside of my head.
Here's my feeling. Why do I got to pay my tax dollars to these sand bagels put a wall up around their city, huh?
They're good, decent people, and you shouldn't call them that.
Let them duke it out with whoever hates them.
Those Star Wars characters?
Must watch out for the sand bagels, you must.
I'm saying there's got to be a reason everyone hates the sand bagels. I'm no historian, but I know a sandbagger when I see one.
Poppy seed sandbagger.
I think it's derogatory to call those good people sandbagels.
Defrost the sandbagels.
I'm just saying sand on anything is a bad idea, but for 8 months in 1971, we decided that sand candles would be the greatest thing ever. Sand candles, lanyards,
oh, yeah,
and tie-dye. Everyone decided, I'm going to make my own shirt, I got to make my own candle, and I got to make my own keychain, and we all did it in the same eight-month period. And you take wax and you dump it into sand, and then it looks like somebody crapped in sand, rolled it around and stuffed a wick in it.
I used to just stick a wick in my cat litter box and what an aroma. Oh, yeah. Burnt cat turd wafting through my house.
Hey, if the people from Wizard are listening, I think Harlan Williams just stumbled on your next. All right, we need to take a break. Harlan Williams here.
Right here.
He's half sandbagel, I heard his grandfather.
I got sand in my undies right now.
Harlan Williams in here, and good news, Joel McHale coming up as well. We'll do Harlan and then Joel next.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh, poser?
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show.
X107X1075. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I've been going down to SeaWorld in San Diego, and I've been recently dating a beluga. So I'm belugan, my friend.
What would that beluga whale sound like?
And more with Harlan Williams on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Harlan.
Always a frosty, frosty treat, my friend. Oh, ooh.
I know you don't have kids yourself, right?
How do you know I don't have kids?
I'm just sizing you up.
Okay, you got me. I don't have kids.
But I feel like that's a waste.
I know. I want to have kids, man.
I have twins. And, you know, my particular brand of humor, I don't think it's going to work well on them. But if Uncle Harlan came by and started making whale sounds, the kids would be delighted.
I'd love to have kids.
Do you have
kids.
Nieces and nephews?
Yeah, I got those. Yeah.
Do you do all the crazy birds and whales and stuff?
They love it.
Right.
They love fart noises. Yeah. Everyone loves fart noises.
No, I agree, but I'm not good for anything.
Oh, come on now.
You mean kids don't like rants? Yelling rants?
What's up with the red turn arrow in the city? Yeah, then it doesn't play as well. Like, the only thing I can do, really... The only noise I can make.
Yeah.
I'm one of these people that can't do weird things with their tongue, like turn it into a taco shape or roll it or anything, and that's completely God-given.
What do you got, then, player?
I have this. Let's see. That's all I have, and I do that to my daughter, and she goes... She tries to mimic it back to me, but she screws it up. But that's
like
all.
A fat guy that smashed into a glass window and he's sliding down. Yeah.
That's all I have.
Wow, I like that, though.
It's good. It's a limited repertoire, though, for two kids. You got one sound.
If I was doing a show at the Improv with Harlan, I could probably only do about 45 minutes of... Before the audience was like, okay, we're ready for...
You'd probably get flocked by bats, because that's got a little sonar to it.
Yeah, so my daughter will sit there and do the, you know, I'll give her the... And she does the back, but that's as far as it goes. And then what happens when she's in high school? You know, she comes home and she's like, Daddy, I met a boy, and I'm like... And she just goes... And then later on, she's like, I want to go to college. I'm like...
What if she goes, Dad, I really want to have a talk with you. I want you to give me advice, like, about boys.
Hell no!
That's what that's going to sound like.
Then you'd have to make a different squeaking sound, I think.
Daddy, I'm pregnant.
What are you, Louis Armstrong over there? Get this guy a trumpet.
Dad, Dad, I think Sonny's gay.
Are your kids your best friends?
Between you and your dad's trumpet, done by Joel McHale.
Well, my dad spoke to me through his trumpet mouthpiece when I was growing up, and I'm going to carry that tradition
You're
on
like
with
those African guys that do the clicking talking. You're like got your own language with your kid.
Let me interview Harlan Williams via my buzzing sound.
Yeah.
So, Harlan. You answer in English, not like Charlie Brown's teacher.
You want me to answer in English?
Yes.
All right, then.
Yes, matey.
Yes, it is a lovely day. Yes, I have seen a rhinoceros.
Well, I can't do it when I'm laughing.
How rude indeed. By the way, did you know that rhinoceroses are just big, fat, white trash unicorns?
No, I didn't know that. Wait a minute. Oh, sorry. Let me answer. Sorry, go ahead, Brian. I didn't mean to. Go ahead.
You sound like a balloon that's losing air.
Yeah, that's good.
Essentially what we all are after 40. Yeah. Daniel?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Ace Man. You're the best, dude.
Thank you, but not better than Harlan Williams.
Dude, I'm calling because of this guy, man.
Aww.
I saw him at Laugh Stop with my wife and some friends, and I laughed so hard, I nearly puked. It was just hilarious. I recommend this guy to anybody that just wants to bust a gut and laugh.
Now you're,
or puke.
Are you planning on going and seeing him at the Improv tonight?
Actually, I work 12 hours. I'm a truck driver, so unfortunately, I won't be able to make it tonight.
Oh,
but,
what are you hauling? What are you hauling, Big Daddy?
Dude, I haul linen for all the hospitals around the metropolitan area.
That's heavy.
If you've been into a hospital, Woo! You probably slept on my sheet.
This is we got the makings of an action movie.
Wow.
Hey, those fitted sheets need to get down to County General. Stat! And there's only one guy that can do it.
Breaker now, we got us a linen 10-4. Come back, how, how.
Daniel, that highway is littered with smokies wall to wall. The County General needs those linens because an old guy just crapped himself.
Come back, we're coming through with some pillowcases. 10-9, give me a 45.
There's
with a
only 9-9. One man that can run that gauntlet and get those linens over the hospital. There's only one man that can double clutch an 18-wheeler. That's Daniel from Walnut.
We got double fitted sheets coming back with you with a 559 with a how, how, how.
We got birds in the air, we got smokies on the ground, and we got the presidential motorcade that's going right down Main Street. At a certain point, he abandons the truck and goes on foot carrying the linens to the hospital. We got a Jell-O spill in one of the pediatric rooms, and we're going to need you in there, stat. Anything you can get that linen over there?
Oh, you ever throw one of your linens on yourself and pretend you're a ghost? Just rolling down the highway like with a sheet over your head. Boo! Boo! Get out of my way! Boo! Boo!
Teresa,
I'm a haunted truck!
Teresa, you play the woman who loves the man who delivers the linen. But your dad went in a linen carrier accident, and you swore you could never love a man who did this for a living. And now you give your speech to Daniel about... You do that one where you go, I can't wake up every morning wondering what happened to you on the road. I can't go to bed every night knowing if my kids are going to have a father. You know what
Daniel,
I'm saying?
Daniel, every linen run, I wonder if I'm ever going to see you again. I already lost my dad in a linen trucking accident, and I can't lose you.
Oh.
No, baby, I'll make it back to you. Trust me.
I hit a truck the other day, man. I hit a Red Cross truck. It was horrible. Blood everywhere.
Now, Daniel, this would be the point where you go, I got no choice. Let me play. I'll play Daniel. Go ahead. Give me the speech, Auntie. Give me the speech.
I can't go through this again, Daniel. I can't lose another man I love.
I don't have a choice. This trucker, it's got snuggle in his veins.
Daniel, somebody else can get the linens to the hospital. It doesn't have to be you this time.
Sure, it'd be great. We could all just close our eyes and hope the sheets arrived on time. Someone's got to bring those sheets, and that someone's me.
If you walk out that door, that's the end.
Listen, C-word. There are a lot of old people that have dumped Jell-O on their cots, and they need me, and they need those sheets.
Well, we need you. Your kids
need
you.
Do you want to explain to your kids one day when they're laying on a bare mattress in a hospital without a sheet that daddy didn't have the intestinal fortitude to deliver the sheets and pillowcases. And let's not forget the upper sheet. You know, people focus on the lower fitted sheet, but the upper sheet is just as important, and I carry those items as well.
You said the last run.
And what about cloth napkins?
You said the last run was the last run.
I've got to ramble.
I don't give a sheet.
Hey, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
I could see why the women love you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So and by the way, Daniel, just turn around. You've got a cling sheet stuck to your ass.
Exactly.
All right, Daniel. Good times. You can catch Harlan next time he blows through town.
Thanks for plugging my shows at the Melrose Improv this weekend, Daddy.
Two shows on Saturday,
Two
right?
Two shows Saturday, one Friday. I like the ear. Thanks for the plug-alicious.
Hey, Harlan, can I ask you this?
Yes.
Besides Rocket Man.
Yes.
Which is a great movie
yes.
that my kids will be enjoying in a few short years. What about tapes and CDs and things like that?
Oh.
Where do we find your material?
Hey, thanks.
This trucker may want to hear Harlan in his cab.
Okay. Well, go to harlanwilliams.com,
mm-hmm.
and I have a store on my website where you can buy DVDs and CDs.
Sheets.
And you can buy T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I do my own homemade T-shirts where I draw on the T-shirt. They're one-of-a-kind T-shirts. You can't. There's
really?
Only one of each one. I don't
right.
make copies.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get your very own T-shirt.
Harlan Williams T-shirt.
An original drawing.
All right. We will do that. HarlanWilliams.com?
HarlanWilliams.com.
And see him tonight at the Improv. Tia Carrera. The beautiful, exotic Tia Carrera in studio. And then Joel McHale. The beautiful, exotic Joel McHale in studio next. Tia, then Joel next.
The Adam Carolla Show.
The public believes it. You're scot-free.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Sing a song.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. From the new record from Tia Carrera, Hawaiiana.
Sing out strong.
Tia Carrera on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Tia Carrera. Great to see you. Who
Good
knew?
Good morning. Aloha.
I didn't know you could sing.
Yeah, I really can sing, really and truly. It's just my voice and an ukulele or my voice and a slack key guitar.
And a ukulele is what we call the ukulele out here, but we mispronounce, or should we call it? I'd like to call the ukulele.
Me too. I would never correct you, Adam, because you are beyond reproach.
But, you know, there's weird things. There are things like aluminum and aluminium.
Yeah, but that's
and aluminium
that,
is really
they're wrong. They're wrong.
They spell it differently. That's their own
really?
Thing.
They spell it differently.
They spell aluminium differently than we spell aluminum. It's not that they just mispronounce it. It's actually a sort of a different word for
they
them.
They do. I've been married to a Brit for 5 years, and he spells it differently.
That's
and I
right.
Just look at that. You learn something new every
Does
day.
Does he say schedule?
Schedule. Cookies. Babies and
does he do this super annoying thing? Because I had a British girlfriend for a while, and she would do the water, not the water. She'd
yes.
get rid of the ER.
Water.
She'd get rid of
water.
The ER, but she would add the R in names and in things that
tier,
had an A.
Like tier. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You'd be, that's what
I become tier.
Right. Yeah. It would be, it's funny. It'd be, Hannah and her sisters. It'd be like, huh? No, it's Hannah and you're taking the A and using it where you should be.
Oh, boy.
They can't say spa. They say spar.
Can't we all just get along and
oh,
learn
man.
American?
Do you guys have kids? I agree.
Yes. Yes. We have one 2.5-year-old daughter. And that's actually why I created this record was just love songs and lullabies for her because I was born and raised in Hawaii and she lives here in the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, in the mountains of Topanga, it's
sure.
as close to nature as we can be, but it's not Hawaii and I wanted her to have that connection. So
yeah, it's like,
here I am.
It's like if Hawaii was freezing cold in the winter, burnt down 3 times a year, then there was a mudslide, and there's a lot of drifters blowing through the main boulevard.
We were just saying during the commercial that Hawaiian music is so soothing.
It is.
Inherently.
It puts babies to sleep.
They should pump it into prisons.
It would work. It would work. They should paint the walls all blue because mm-hmm. we know that that soothes.
It's calming.
And play my record. Look at that. Millions in record sales already right here on the Adam Carolla Show.
Tia, you were nominated or are nominated for a Grammy, which is coming up this Sunday in world music, right?
It's crazy. Yeah, it's actually in the folk category.
Who are you up against?
My friend who produced the record, Daniel Ho, I've known him since I was 14. He has won the two previous Grammys, and he's up for another one this year, up against me. So,
and what?
I said, that's it.
He did another world music or another folk music?
He did a compilation of slack key guitar artists, other people that we're on this tour with. But, you know, to me, it's just, I can't believe that this little record that I did with a friend of mine that I've known since I was 14, just for the love of it, got nominated for a Grammy. So that just getting up the bat is enough.
Well, you bring up the lullaby thing. I have the twins, and there's that real popular Hawaiian version of Beautiful World or Wonderful World or
Israel.
Whatever. What's the story with that? When did that come about? Because I feel like it didn't exist 10 years ago and now it's ubiquitous. Everyone who has kids has to have this as a lullaby. I can't... do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Israel Kamaka Vaiole?
Yes, what you said.
Yeah, that thing you said. Yeah, no, he was a great singer and he's passed away now, but that was really the beginning of sort of doing American, you know, traditional songs with ukulele. And,
which is what you're doing on your album, right?
Yeah, with Sing. I was sort of inspired by his take on that. Sing is one of my favorite songs, and I think there's simple words to live by.
Mm-hmm.
It's a philosophy to live by. Mm-hmm. And so I just said to my friend Daniel, I said, what do you think about doing the ukulele with this? He's like, yeah, great. I love mm-hmm. Karen Carpenter.
Oh, this is it, right?
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah,
I have to hear this.
He's
awesome. I get to hear this every night. What happened to him?
He was a big guy and he passed away, yeah.
He just died because he was overweight?
Well,
is this song 20 years old or is it 2 years old? I feel like I didn't know
it
came about recently.
No.
It was on the Meet Joe Black soundtrack, so it may have gotten some exposure.
Yeah, see, that's the thing
movies.
Is it was in movies and soundtracks. That's why it seems...
I think 50 First Dates, too. It's been in a few movies.
Yeah,
see, I feel like I've seen it in commercials as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Toys R Us.
So you did, you do Sing, you do I'll Remember You, you do...
I Remember You. Yeah.
You do Hell is for Children.
Oh, Hell is for Children. Oh, that would be fun. I can do that one, but
you
not on this record.
You can do a little Pat Benatar?
Hell is for Children.
Yeah.
No. That's at Wayne's World stuff. That thrashed my voice, man. I can't do that.
I forgot. Then in Wayne's World, you were in a girls... No, you weren't a girls band. You were in a rock band, and you sung.
Oh, the guys
sung,
are going to be really upset. You just said that about
them. Well, they had long hair. It was a different time. The point is...
You thought it was a girl at the time.
Tia, come on.
I know, we're both parents now. We have to behave.
Hell. Hell is for children. Every night I sing this to my twins.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to pay for your love with your bones and your flesh. No, hell is for children. All right, we're going to kick it up here, T. You ready?
You didn't hold the note, Adam. You didn't hold the note, man.
I save it for karaoke night at Kimmel's.
Woo!
You've never seen a man sweat so much.
Hey, how come I was never invited?
We didn't know you can sing.
Now you can.
Hell is for hell. Hell is for hell.
This is crazy.
Hell is for children. All right. I'm getting hoarse. So,
I know, I'm not going to be able to sing tomorrow in Torrance. My throat.
Now,
it's a lot of range.
I need some throat coat.
Now, the Grammys
on Sunday,
and you'll be attending the Grammys.
Yes, I know.
Have you been to the Grammys before?
Never.
I've
been to all the, you know, the Oscars and all these different events, but never the Grammys. And this has always been my dream. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I never wanted to be an actress. I always wanted to be a singer.
Right. Weren't you on Star Search?
I thought it was kind of a dumb job.
As a kid?
I was on Star Search. That's... very odd. The only category open was the acting category. And the guy that, brought me on it was worried that I couldn't act.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hooked me up with his acting coach and who's become a really good friend for years. But, he got a 1.75 and I got like 3.25. So, oh, hello. You were worried about my acting. Sorry about your life. And where are you now?
Well, I want to scream at every buddy who's asked me in my life, but can you act? Like it's difficult. It's really one of the easier things you can do.
Walk and talk and behave yourself and make pretend the best you can.
Well, it's
really,
it's pretty much like this. Have you ever cried before? Yes. Have you ever been happy before? Yes. Have you ever been sad before? Yes. Have you ever been puzzled before? Yes. Okay. Have you been sleepy before? Yes. Okay. Summon that up. There you go. Act sad. You can do it. By the way, you don't do that thing where you go, that chick is 6.5 years old and she's such an amazing actress. That means it's easy because there's no such thing as a 6.5 year old that flies jet aircraft.
I think it's easier when you're little because you can make pretend, you know, and then we're told, don't cry, buck it up, be brave. And you sort of get all constipated and you just can't emote. And
that's
you get
right.
All, yeah, you know, so we mess ourselves
when
up as we get older.
When
so
I sing Hell is for Children to my kids every night, I yell, hold it in! Hold in the pain! Stuff it deep inside where daddy can't see it.
Oh, daddy
doesn't love you when you cry.
You're going to an ugly place. I'm just getting scared of you right now.
How is your little girl?
She's wonderful. She's a little sick now, but she's okay.
How old is she?
She's 2.5.
Ooh.
She's 2.5.
Play date.
Well, let's do it. Let's pull out our Blackberries and
because you see Tia, by the way, one of the most Chinese, Spanish, Filipino. You got that beautiful mix, and now you add the Brit into the mix.
A little milk in the coffee.
I imagine your girl's going to be spectacular. My son's going to be a schlub.
Oh, no. I love seeing the mixtures. I mean, in Hawaii, everybody's got 5 or 6 or 7 different ethnic backgrounds. I mean,
right.
we just threw it all in the pot and mixed it up and came out.
Right. My kids are going to be have a combination of stupid and dumb. That'll be their mixture.
Tia, how'd you meet this Brit?
He came up to me in a restaurant in London where I was working and living at the time and wanted to interview me.
Mm-hmm.
Aha. Uh-huh. So we set up the interview, sat down at lunch the week later, and I still have the cassette tape of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
The story is still being written.
Wow. That is romantic.
Aren't there some sort of ethical, like, you know, guidelines?
Yeah.
Journalists aren't supposed to use the interview. He's actually listening right now. Hi, honey.
Well, you know, I would say that to Dr. Drew all the time.
That's
when
entrapment,
he'd talk about, you know, he'd be getting all high and mighty because some dentist had sex with a patient while she was asleep or something. And I said, look, how are people supposed to meet people out of college these days?
You spend a lot of hours working.
Yeah.
Meet people at the office.
Sure.
Library, charity work.
Yeah, like me and Brian over here. Love wasn't supposed to bloom between these two proud warriors. We can only sit so close to another man for so long before something happens.
Hey, we have to use what we got at our, you know, whatever.
Sworn to secrecy.
Hey, Tia Carrere, now can we see, now, will they do the world category on film? Do you know that? I'm trying to think. I went to the Grammys with the Dixie Chicks
I remember you talking about that when we were on Loveline.
It was a very long and painful chapter in my life. But
holy cow.
I don't remember what categories they did on camera or what they did off camera for categories wise. Did you do the world music? I mean, will we see you in the audience?
Well, there's two. Yeah, well, hopefully you'll see me on the carpet and in the audience, but I think I'll be a crawl at the bottom of
previously
the
awarded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do you know what you're
so
wearing?
So like Andy Dick gives it to you to Ramada the weekend before? Or what happens?
No, there's two. It starts earlier for us. That's all.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I see. Oh, earlier in the day.
So I get there at noon and I leave at midnight. It's a very long day. So I'm going to have two gowns.
We will.
Are you? It's a good idea.
We
I was
will
thinking about it.
Keep our fingers crossed for Tia Carrere.
Oh, it's just an honor to be up there and, you know,
you've nominated. Really got a beautiful voice.
And I can always put on Wikipedia a Grammy nominee, so that's good enough.
Where are you going to be coming up tomorrow? Are you going to be performing live? At the Borders.
Yeah, at Torrance with a bunch of other fine Hawaiian performers. Keep the applause going. Zero Pahinui.
Playing the ukulele.
What did that
Daniel
mean?
Daniel Ho.
Hmm. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Joel McHale. The equally dreamy.
He's so hilarious and dreamy.
The dreamy Joel McHale in next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Listen to The Adam Carolla Show on your computer at work. You're not really doing anything anyway. So go to adamcarolla.com and click Listen Live. It's The Adam Carolla Show. Right now on The Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, don't try funny.
TV talk.
What would you say to other kids who were thinking of partying when their parents are out of town?
Get me to do it for you.
Get you to do it for you. Not don't do it.
Best party ever so far. That's what everyone's been saying, so
Well, we've got to go, but I suggest you go away and take a good, long, hard look at yourself.
With the Soup's Joel McHale.
I have. Everyone has. They love it.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Everyone has. I love that guy.
I like the guy because he's wearing no shirt and sunglasses, 16 and brash.
And they cut to, while he's being interviewed, tape of him running naked into his house. I'm a hermaphrodite. And I can't believe he hasn't been offered a show on E! Yet.
I know.
Ridiculous.
And if they did, they would advertise it a lot more than the Soup.
That is so damn true.
Joel McHale, everybody. Best show on television. So wow. Says the billboard that I pass
that.
Every day on the way home.
Well, I've been replaced.
Oh, who's what on the happened? Billboard now?
This person named Chelsea Handler is now there.
Oh, I did see her mug on there. Yeah.
So I got a month now. I think she'll probably get a month, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then it'll move on.
Yeah,
go down
I was confused because I was talking on my cell phone. I wasn't really paying attention, but I was driving up Highland yesterday, and I was like, Joel looks much more masculine in pictures than he does in... And then I... Oh, no, it's Chelsea Handler.
Right.
So, did you bring some clips?
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking... How about that Tia Carrera?
Hot?
Yeah.
Hot, talented, and... Funny.
Seems to be giddy, yeah, in a good mood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's disconcerting.
Yeah.
All those things would be.
And by the way,
person.
Has not been touched by time.
No. She looks amazing. And she can sing and dance because I know you guys watch Dancing with the Stars.
Sure.
You enjoyed her work.
Every time I close my eyes, I see a rerun of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, we get together at Kimmel's house for that.
Oh, awesome.
We all go over.
It's potluck.
Crack some beer.
Well, you know, if you had voted.
We just scream at the television.
That's right.
Damn, what, you call that the Foxtrot? Come on.
I remember.
The Pot of Beret's awful.
When Hamilton got voted off in season 2, McHale was beside himself. He was fit to be tied. He stood up and paced and yelled, "Jip."
Over and over again.
I lost $5,000.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it.
Did you have money on Wayne Newton?
Yes.
I expected him to do better.
I didn't expect him to live through it.
I had money in Wayne Newton. It was Roland Nichols. I put it there almost 20 years ago. That's right.
In his side or
in
his neck?
Just in him.
Oh.
All right.
All right. So the insider.
Does Wayne seem like he might melt if he got too close to a flame?
It is a weird look. It's a yes. He looks.
He's always smiling. He seems so happy.
He can't help it.
There's fishing string holding his face in that shape. He's like orange.
Even Montecore would have if he had been on stage with him. Would have been like weird.
Wow. Yeah. Let me go ahead and get my flu vaccine before I chomp into that Indian. Yeah.
It's really been. It's weird because when someone has that much surgery, you go, oh, that's just a guy who's had a ton of surgery and he doesn't look any better.
Here's what I want to say about all the crazy surgeries and all the spray on tan and all the guys who are in their 70s with jet black hair. If we were not from this planet, if we didn't understand nuance, if we somehow didn't pick up on vibes and nuance and things like that, then it would be perfect. If we were just from another planet and we were judging you through the eyes of those that were non-human, it would work like a charm because you do look like a younger human being. But we have something called a spidey sense as human beings, and we get that vibe. It's that vibe where you can tell someone's crazy without them saying a word, and that vibe where you can see that someone's angry just by looking at their mugshot. That vibe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the problem with the plastic surgery or the jet black hair or any of it, it doesn't transcend the vibe. It works physically, but the vibe is screwed up, and there's no surgeon's knife or gamma ray that can work on the vibe.
Yeah, you can't laser resurface a vibe.
That's right.
When you see Kenny Rogers now, you just go, oh, I forgot about everything you've ever done in your career, and I'm just staring at your crazy-looking face now.
How about Bruce Jenner?
He gambled on elective surgery.
Yeah, he lost.
He lost.
How would you explain, though, if there were an alien, as you often imagine, Adam, how would you explain Bruce Jenner? First, you'd have to explain running contests. Then you'd have to explain his plastic surgery.
One of the most famous athletes of the 70s.
Right.
And then he turned into Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to tell the alien, we run. We're not chasing anything. We just run.
Well, first off, it's also one of these things where he'd go, so no one on your planet can run but Bruce Jenner? Oh, no, everyone can run.
Yeah.
Well, then what does he do? Run 10 times as fast? No, he runs about 2/10 of a second faster in the 40-yard dash. And for that, he's a hero? Yeah.
He's a hero.
Everyone knows him.
Everyone knows
on
him.
On our planet.
And then he becomes, then he is compelled to have 15 elective surgeries.
That's right.
Yes, then if you have to explain the Kardashians.
And his eyebrows look like Eartha Kitt's. For what reason?
Wait, you know who Eartha Kitt is already, Alien? How many Eartha Kitt albums do you guys have?
We have Satellite. I don't know.
Are you from a gay planet?
Now, did the running, is that what made his eyebrows look like Agnes Moorehead and his lips look like he was wearing kissing potion?
No, he chose that before they weren't like
that. To make him faster.
No, they don't make him faster.
Well, then why on earth would he look like a amusement clown? Well, why on your orb would he choose to look like a children's clown?
Well, he wants to appear to be younger and more attractive. Don't you think?
But a younger man. A younger lady.
A younger vampire.
The man was the world's greatest athlete. Yes.
Yes.
And now he's chosen to look like a high school cheerleader?
Well, in a way, he has chosen. I don't think that's how he had planned
it. What is the difference between curtains and drapes? This is something that has long vexed the leaders of our family.
I know that you've spent a lot of time listening to Eartha Kitt albums and a lot of musicals.
Growl.
Drapes. All right.
All right. Joel, you have clips?
Yeah. Okay. The Insider did an important, in-depth look into John McCain's wife.
What you never knew about the woman who could be the next first lady. Her thoughts on Hillary Clinton, her romance with an older man, and her hair.
Oh, her hair. Yeah.
What is going on with John McCain's wife's hair?
Just when you thought you knew everything about her hair, turns out there's more. I was watching The Insider and saw the anorexic Aussie twins while I was eating yesterday and physically had to hold my hand up in front of the effing TV set so I wouldn't bring up my broccoli flour.
God forbid you turn off the television.
Well, I'm not going to have conversation with my family. I'm not going to risk that while I'm eating, Joel. You understand how it goes. Slippery slope. First the TV set goes. Next thing you know, you exchange a glance with a family member, and then they're saying penny for your thoughts, and the next thing you know, how was your day? And then you have a full-blown relationship, and then where are you?
I'm sorry I even brought it up. That's
thank you.
Those anorexic twins, I think...
Oh, for the love of Christ.
Well, no, I'm the only one that thinks they actually could lose a little weight.
Really?
They're a little chunky.
They're little, just they got a little around, you know...
Let me ask you hypothetically. Worse... parents, and I'm going the global version, not in the United States.
All right.
The parents of the anorexic twins, because when both your daughters decide it's a great idea to vomit everything they eat, that means probably some bad parenting, or the Vandersloot parents. Worse parenting. I mean, Vandersloot was worse, but on the other hand, there's two of these.
Yeah, I feel I'm going to go with anorexic. Because I think maybe in the Vandersloot case, it was just his brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe he's got a tumor.
What do you think?
Joel, I'm with you on that.
All right.
Do you have a tease, by the way?
Yes.
Because we need to take a break.
Well, just tease that. You saw it. See it there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God!
Is that Hef's girlfriend looking at sea mammals or... Hef's girlfriend being murdered.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for the latter. Take a quick break. Back with the dreamy Joel McCallum's clips next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6 on Hallmark. Don't watch Bridal Fever. A book editor looking for love is advised by her new client, a romance author, played by Delta Burke. At 8 on Home Shopping Network, be sure to miss De-Stress with Tony Little. Stress relief products with fitness guru, Tony Little. And at 9 on HBO Family, definitely don't watch Aragorn. A 15-year-old boy sets out on a journey to free his homeland from an evil king after finding a dragon egg. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Joel, I'm making a dragon movie. It's going to be about $130 million.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking for investors.
What's the premise?
Dragon.
Dragon attacks
times.
A car dealership of some sort?
Yeah. It's great because you invest $1 million and I'll get you back $100 on every million you invest in my dragon
really?
Movie. Yeah.
Okay, I feel like there's been a lot of dragon
just
movies.
Just start writing the check. Everyone
I
loves,
could go for a good dragon movie this weekend.
Everyone loves dragon movies.
Okay, the check does say Ryan Seacrest in the upper left-hand corner.
Sure enough, that's fine.
And I'm going to sign it Ryan Seacrest.
All right.
But it's still my money if the movie makes money.
Well, speaking of cars and car dealerships, Knight Rider rolling back onto the small screen.
Yeah.
17th, NBC. Kimmel and I already got a potluck planned. Do you want to come down?
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be everywhere there's a TV set.
Oh, yeah,
we'll
right.
To,
oh, yeah.
We'll go to Jimmy's house and watch Knight Rider.
That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's first watch like a Sweet 16 and then get into it.
On the MTV one?
Yeah. Let's watch.
I like that show.
My Super Sweet 16, yeah. And then let's watch Knight Rider.
By the way, I watch that show and continuously yak into a potted plant and then scream at my parents. But when did it become okay for dudes to have Sweet 16 parties?
I don't know, but yours would have been a potluck.
Who's bringing the plastic silverware? Yeah, guys aren't supposed to have Sweet 16 parties, no. Are they?
I don't think I said, so I'm 16. Do I get a car? And my dad laughed for 5 minutes.
You know, I blame the Jews with the bat mitzvah.
Right.
You open the birthday door to the alternate gender.
What about the quinceañera?
No, the Mexicans.
What the heck is that?
That's
a party you have when you're.
It's a Mexican chick 15. Becomes a woman.
Yeah, 15 years.
Although I would argue 13 for Jews, 15 for Mexicans.
Nah,
that don't
strange.
Sound right, does
no.
it?
When did you go through puberty,
it's
Teresa?
It's
when you were
for girls.
22?
Yeah, it was very recently.
But after you had your third kid, we figured out you're a woman by now, right? We don't have to wait till your 15th birthday
sound
in
like
Mexico.
A twins movie.
I went through puberty a little late, 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
Joel, if you've not been to a quinceañera, come over to my apartment complex. There's one in my courtyard every other weekend.
Ozzy threw his daughters at my house.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes.
And did he serve his wonderful beef?
No, but the place still smells of flan.
Safe to say, nicest house ever hosted a quinceañera.
Oh, that is
that was like hosted, that was like having it at a cathedral. Your
yes.
house that was
all right. Joel McHale here
from
the Sioux.
Yes, in the same episode as McCain's wife's hair was featured.
Mm-hmm.
They then featured Barack Obama's grandmother, who they found in Kenya.
Oh, holding a chicken.
Yes.
I saw that.
It was a very compelling story.
And check this out. That's Barack Obama's grandmother, photographed in Kenya yesterday. The 83-year-old dressed in blue is all smiles as she holds a chicken.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
By the way, let me just give this hint to the guy who's setting up the photo. If there are only one human being in the photo and a chicken, we don't need the color of her gown.
No.
We don't need the dressed in blue part, because we get it. It's the 90-year-old black chick.
Yeah.
Because there's not three chicks and then the chicken. There's just the one chick.
Yeah, people weren't confused at all.
She's the six-footer wearing the gown, smoking, and then that thing covered in feathers in her lap. That's a chicken.
Is that in the photo I'm looking at?
Yeah. That's Barack's grandmother. She's a black woman.
Look, I know there's no one else in the photo, but it's that person holding
she's
the chicken.
She's wearing a blue gown, and the chicken is what's
oh,
in her
I
lap.
I see her now. Okay.
Yeah, that's her.
They obviously...
She's holding a chicken.
They have a reporter there who's probably covering the horrible rioting and murdering going on in that country, but they had time to find Barack Obama's grandma. Hey, and then let's make this photo interesting. Mm. Will you hold this chicken?
She's more probably active.
Yeah, smart. All right.
All right.
There's a show called Ocean Force Hermosa Beach. I think it's called Ocean Force. I know it's called Ocean Force, but there's been the Hermosa Beach cops. It's
Mario Lopez on a 10 speed.
Well, they're as good looking.
Mm-hmm.
But this is real.
Uh-huh.
They follow cops around beaches and I'm not going to set up the clip anymore. Just take a listen.
All day, police have issued tickets to troublesome drinkers. And Officer Billy Charles is about to meet the most interesting one of all.
Hey, dude.
Fancy footwork saves the cops' footwear.
I don't want to get this booth dirty, man.
The working title was, You Can't Pee There. Because I just feel like if you're a beach cop.
That is all
on
they
a mountain
do.
Bike, that's all you do is go, excuse me. What I'm going to need for you to do for me right now, son, is go ahead and holster the penis. What I'm going to need for you to do right now is go ahead and take the penis scrum sack, put it inside the OP shorts, okay, right now? What I need for you to do for me right now is to go ahead and walk back into Carlos and Pepe's, find the bathroom, and do your number. That is a mangrove that is not a urinal, son. What I need you to do for me right now. What I need you to do for me right now is to go ahead right now and take your penis right now and go ahead and put it right inside your trunks, okay, right now?
Don't move fast. Use one hand.
Because all this is a bunch of stupid 25-year-old guys whizzing everywhere,
every show is that. There's never been a real crime, I mean, you know, other than drinking on the beach. And they shouldn't have a gun. It should just be a bullhorn telling people to not to whiz or vomit. You can't be there.
I don't think that's the country that our founding fathers had in mind. Could you imagine explaining to them that a taxpaying civilian of this country was relieving himself in the great outdoors and a guy with shorts on pedaled up on a bicycle and wrote him a citation?
Yeah, and George Washington is like, all right, I guess I'll still go across this river. Okay.
All right, that's Ocean Force.
That's a great show.
I hadn't heard of that.
Oh, it's incredible. But there's also a show called Bad Girls.
I have heard of that.
Now, we've focused on Tanisha for the last few weeks because she's a lunatic. Mm-hmm. But there's also...
I said to Hannah!
Yeah.
That's her. There's other lunatics on, and this one, well, she drank a little, and she started drunk dialing her boyfriend.
No, I'm about to f*** your world up. This is a f*** up.
Shut up.
Your mother is a slut, dude. I hope she dies. I hope your dad dies. I hope you die. I hope the nieces die, and I hope all your family dies, Osh.
The nieces got woven into the mix.
Nephews are fine.
And second first cousin once removed.
your pet and the squirrels and the tree and the
great
people
uncle.
You work with and all of God's creatures. Hold on. Here's how hardcore I am. I hope I die in the same accident that your niece is dying.
Jerk.
I am your father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate.
And once again, the forefathers imagining they would there be a television show with insane hot women, for the most part, just being together drinking?
Oh, God bless America.
It's great.
Is there any premise to that show? Other than
As far as I can tell, there's no tasks. You know, in the real world, they set up like fake jobs for them. I don't think there's even that.
Here's gonna be my next show. I'm gonna call
this. Besides, this is after the Dragon movie.
After the Dragon movie, and then the prequel to Ocean Force, which is Don't Pee There.
By the way, isn't the pterodactyl going to be pissed about the Dragon movie?
Oh.
Maybe they should fight.
Yeah, not on the air. On the air.
So what's your project?
It's called Don't Disrespect Me.
Yes.
And it's going to be heavy-set women of color with huge press-on nails with unicorn sprayed onto them. It's going to be 30 minutes of them screaming at each other. Don't you better respect me. You better respect me. And all they're doing, that's all this. There's no task to complete. There's no relationship advice. There's no counselors. It's just heavy set black women screaming at each other. You better respect me.
After the 12th season of that, you will have bought Catalina by then.
And then I do Celebrity Don't Disrespect Me.
You will be helicoptered and you will make so much money. Everyone.
Does Tyra go on? Or
by the way, can you tell a guy not to take a leak 100 yards from the place that all the leaks end up in?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But that's like telling someone with a broken ankle to run a 100-yard dash.
There's two things you can't
do. Might as well be 10 miles away.
Well, true. But there's two things you can't do on the beach. You can't take a leak, and you can't smoke anymore either. And I feel like there's no better place to do both those things. You're standing in an ashtray next to a cesspool.
Can't drink.
Can you drink?
Could you smoke in the water? Because you can, everyone whizzes in the water.
We're gonna ask Danny next time we talk. I think he smokes in the water.
Yeah, but one step in that water, he's almost up to his neck in the water with one wave that hits him.
All right, what else you got, Joel?
Speaking of Danny's doppelganger, thank you. Speaking of incoherent, insane women, Flavor of Love is back.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I noticed you interviewed him earlier in the week.
I guess.
And you didn't. Why didn't you just yell at him and say, "Listen, skank"? I know what's going. All right, never mind. Anyway, this is one of, I'm going to say, a front runner.
You come to my door, you see the trailer not rocking, don't come a knocking. That's what I'm telling you. I live on the farm. I deal with animals. I'm dealing with folks. I call the goat. We got like 30-something goats. I call like a kaya, kaya, kaya. We shoot him head to deer. Pow. Grab him. All the hands got to go in the front of her and got to eat. Some people want my teeth. He just had to go. He just had everything. I ain't gonna knock nothing. He do. You do you. I do me. I ain't gonna walk around with no cock on me either.
Can I ask this? I'd like to make some
Just answer the question. Yes, she's Asian.
Can I just say this quickly, make some quick social commentary? You know how the black leaders of today look back to the blackface and the vaudevillian stuff and are sort of disgusted by the step and fetch it stuff and all that kind of stuff? Are the black leaders of tomorrow, let's say 80 years from now, going to look at VH1 and be thoroughly disgusted at what we're putting their people through?
I hope.
It is a horrible representation.
Is it much different?
Of women?
Is it worse than what it was 75, 80 years ago?
I cannot watch it.
What's more exploitative?
That's a good. Well, they're making $200 a day.
All right.
I'm not kidding.
And,
that's in the contract.
40 acres and a mule.
And craft service. Hey, Joel McHale?
Yeah, we got one more.
One more. All right, let's do it.
This is from a little show called Girls Next Door. They went to Jamaica for Holly's cousin's wedding or something. But Kendra found it an opportunity to scream at everything.
Oh, my God! A dolphin!
Sure. You know when those mammals come at you.
Oh, my God! Where'd it go? I love dolphins.
Wish you were dead.
We found the one hot chick on the planet that loves dolphins.
That's so weird.
That is shocking. Next thing you know, she's going to say that she loves ponies when wanted to be a veterinarian when she was
like
young.
Yeah, like tiny dogs that she could dress up, perhaps.
Never heard that before in my life.
That's all that show, I think. Whenever
it's
I tune on that
dolphins
show.
Dolphins can't nail chicks. Because I feel like a dolphin could get laid more than any guy we know.
Yeah.
You think about it. If there was one dolphin really was just capable of having intercourse with a woman, he could just hop on stage and have his, or hop on land and have his pick of the litter. Like, he'd just come walking up from the ocean, past that guy from Redondo Beach who was taking a leak, and he'd just go right into Carlos and Charlie's and get laid.
Yeah.
Chicks love dolphins.
Deuce Bigelow, male dolphin.
We'll take a break. Joel McHale is in studio, but Joel's going to hang out because he's funny.
Yeah.
Because we said so. Hey, T.
Yep.
You want to tease the news?
Important information about Valentine's Day and the writer's strike.
T, I'm right about the dolphins, right?
I wasn't a big dolphin person.
But how about
a lesbian.
How about you tell some of your progressive friends you had sex with a dolphin? I think they'd give you,
You didn't like dolphins as a little girl?
No,
you didn't
horses.
Like ponies?
I like horses.
What's the jewel?
If there was a dolphin
unicorn.
That could run like a horse...
Ah. Oh.
Yeah, now you're talking.
We will take ourselves a break.
A when dolphicorn.
We come, when we come back, we'll explore the mysteries of the dolphicorn. I might weave him into my dragon movie.
Yeah.
Well, he's the ultimate girl slayer. A dolphicorn? I mean, what girl could resist a half
That's
dolphin,
right, a very
half unicorn?
Phallic unicorn. All right, we'll take a break. Back with Joel in the news next.
No one could stop them.
The Adam Carolla Show. February 12th, The Adam Carolla Show broadcasts live from the Playboy Mansion.
Knight Rider.
For the NBC Knight Rider launch party. Go to 97.1 freefm.com or adamcarolla.com and register to win tickets. Thanks to NBC Knight Rider. Premiering on NBC February 17th, 9, 8 Central. Now back to The Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the new kit, you know, the new kit's a Mustang. The old one was a Pontiac and had the butterfly steering wheel.
I remember that.
That was the steering wheel of the future.
I wanted that car deeply.
One day, every car will have steering wheels shaped like bow ties. Not round.
Yeah.
Hell, that's never going to work.
And in that car, it had a straw going right into Hasselhoff's mouth.
That's right.
And it was just... bourbon.
He had a pony keg in the passenger seat and just drink and drive.
He'd hit the nitrous and turn on the tap.
The greatest episode of the old Knight Rider was when he dueled with his evil twin who had a mustache.
Yes.
There's always some facial hair.
Yep.
And he wore a black members only jacket and drove a semi. And him and Kit dueled it out in the desert.
I remember that.
That's
I think
right.
I think I missed an episode.
And you know what? The evil Knight Riders, his acting, marginally better. Whoever they got to play that was better. The evil twin. Yeah, it turns out he's better than Hasselhoff.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't know who that guy is.
One of those things you think went out in like 1969, 1970, the evil twin with the mustache. No, 1986.
By the way, it's also... though I like the other premise about the evil twin, which is the guy didn't know he had an evil twin for the first 35 years of life.
Yeah.
I have twins. I feel like they're pretty well aware of each other.
Yeah.
But I think Sonny's going to show up 35 years from now wearing a members only jacket with a black goatee and go, have you missed me?
But what if they got separated and Sonny was raised by evil people?
Mm-hmm.
Like a evil genius.
Well, I don't mind. You know, I'll give up evil genius for
or
nice
maybe
Dumbo.
You're raising them evil, Adam.
T?
Yes?
You got your evil news prepared for us?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Writers are preparing for the end of the strike, which is expected within days. According to Variety, writers stood outside Disney Studios giving group hugs, taking photos, and exchanging phone numbers and email addresses. Picketers are waiting to hear the details on the contract agreement from the Writers Guild of America leadership meetings. Those are to be held tomorrow in Los Angeles and New York. Some writers cited specific concerns about the deal as it is reported in the media. For example, writers aren't too happy about a 17 to 24 day window that studios have for free usage before writers get paid for programs on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Still, very good news in general. The strike looks like
but
it's
here,
over.
Here's how it all works. I talked to guys who went through the 86 or 87 strike, and I said, what happened? And they said, I can't remember. And I said, well, why did you guys strike? And they go, yeah, I don't remember. And then I go, well, did you get what you wanted? And they go, doesn't seem like it. And I go, well, what happened? They go, no, I can't remember. Now, this strike's not even over, and I feel like this would be the story. But if you talk to any one of these guys 2 years from now, and somebody said, what happened with the strike of 07, 08? They'd go, I don't know.
Yeah.
What did you want? I can't remember. Well, did you get what you wanted? Not really. But, we just went back.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way everything ends?
I get really confused when I look at all the details.
But what about the guy who wrote the episode of Knight Rider where his evil twin showed up? You think that
well,
guy's
got
to work?
If it goes on DVD, he's now going to get a residual.
He's
got to
be compensated.
But if it goes on the internet for 17 to 24 days, he won't be paid.
That's right. But DVD, he will be paid, and that is as a result of the previous strike.
Do you think you could get the evil twin in here for an interview?
I keep IMDBing the guy, but I can't find him. All right.
Do you guys want to hear about Cher?
Yes.
It's official. Cher will be headlining the
is
show
a
at
man.
Caesar's, but no.
Yeah.
The show at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. She'll do more than 200 shows over 3 years, beginning on May 6th.
We should drag a gay guy out there just so we can experience Cher one time. Just so one gay man can see Cher
like
live.
A bridge to that community.
Yeah. Come on. Hey, listen, all you guys with the big belt buckles who drive trucks and have clear side.
Yeah.
I got a gay man who wants to experience himself some Cher.
Just let him see her once.
Just one time.
See if they like her.
See if the gays like her.
We'll talk about a Sophie's Choice for the gays. Cher will be alternating with Bette Midler.
Oh, my
God. The Showgirl Must Go On is the name of her show.
I feel like if there were two guys from the UFC that went and watched that show, they would start fornicating in the middle of it. Just it's the straightest, most masculine guys in the world to be like, hey.
I can't help it. I love you.
Oh, by the way, this is ground and pound, but it's in a way that you've never dreamt of before.
Sharon.
Wait, hold. I think you and I should go, Adam, but get all hooked up to heart monitors and sweat.
Forget about tumescence monitor. That's where I put that little... You know what a tumescence monitor is?
Is that the stuff that comes out?
That is a ring we put around the peccaroo, and it charts blood flow.
Wow.
See, what they do is they take guys that are gay bashers, and they hook one of those up to them, and then they show them gay erotica, and it turns out it goes off the charts.
I'm a card-carrying NAMBLA member.
That's right.
That's true.
Yeah. All right.
Wow. Well,
so Bette and Cher
will essentially alternate months to take the place of Celine Dion, whose A New Day show at Caesars ended in December.
Wow. Now, so there's going to be a huge banner just says, welcome gay. Right? like it's a convention.
Los San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Well, the word is, this has not been confirmed, that she's being paid $100 million for these 200 shows over 3 years.
Makes sense, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Celine Dion is getting that kind of money, or close to it, right?
Absolutely.
More. I would think she...
It's ridiculous.
It seems low to me.
Hold on, I'm going to play my mom for a second. Does anybody deserve $100 million for?
How would I know that?
Wait a minute, my dad's chiming in. Dad. Well, yeah, but people work hard and they have a right to be compensated. Well, now don't say that about everyone in show business. Well, Dad, I hope you're sitting down, but your son is in show business, you know. Yes. No, I was on the Man Show for me. Is cable is real TV? Okay, I was on a show called Loveline. I was on MTV for a number of years. Yes, I know, but that's why they have TiVo. No, TiVo. No, TiVo is it's not a beta player. I'll tell you what's wrong with your beta player. They don't even make blank cassettes anymore. No, you're forced to tape. Oh, listen, old man. Don't you raise your to me. Now I'm in charge.
Wow.
That's my dad talking through his trumpet mouthpiece. The
microphone is dripping.
That's how your dad communicated with you. And you learned to understand him. That's how you communicate with your daughter.
That's right. And then once in a while, my dad and I combine it, and that's how we communicate. Come on, Bald Brian.
Oh, right.
Sorry, I derailed the story. No. You started out with your mom going.
I have never experienced a news story being derailed before, Joel. This is the first.
You're kidding.
Wow, I don't know how to recover. What
Joel, would
about?
You like to have a conversation with your son?
Yes.
Here it goes.
Hi, boy.
No, you got to do my dad in the mouth.
Hi, boy.
Go ahead.
Here we go. All right, I know they're doing this on KLOS right now, so we got to move forward. All right, T, what are we talking about? Cher?
Oh, boy.
Cher?
Stop derailing.
And the Coliseum is scheduled to include hit songs from her career of more than 40 years with choreography, costumes, and special effects.
Costumes and choreography for Cher? Now, listen, gays, I know you're not big fans of the glitzy Bob Fosse dresses and the crazy headdresses she's going to wear during Half Breed and all that good stuff. And choreography, I will sit down and explain what it is. I know it sounds like a venereal disease or something new on the menu over at Starbucks, but choreography, gays, are you listening? That's when one fella tells a bunch of other ladies and fellas what to do and how to dance, and they do it simultaneously.
To a song.
Yeah, it's called choreography.
Just give it a chance.
Please, gays, go check out Cher. And Bette Midler is what we call brassy. Now, hold on. Hear me out.
Not interested.
Now, just
no way.
She's a bosomy woman.
Not interested.
She's sardonic. She's funny. She's sarcastic. And then she sings. She does these things called show tunes. I really, just hear me out.
Put down your Trey Atkins or Atkinson or whatever his name is. Trace.
That's
put
right.
down his albums and just pick
just
up.
Just please listen a little bit and Cher, please.
Okay, obviously the gays are fans of Cher, but a lot of straight guys have been fans of Cher, including Elvis and Marlon Brando. She went on Good Morning America yesterday to announce
two totally normal guys.
That's right.
Couldn't be more normal. She talked about her regrets that when Elvis asked her out, she was too scared and she didn't go. She also regretted not going out with Marlon Brando, but she did date Tom Cruise, and she spoke about it on GMA.
Your son said that you dated Tom Cruise in the 80s. Is that true?
Yes.
Was he a Scientologist in those days?
No. No, he just was the most adorable man that you can possibly imagine. I don't understand the Scientology thing because I don't understand it. You know, Sonny was a Scientologist. I didn't understand that either.
Yeah.
She didn't understand it because she didn't understand it?
Right.
She didn't understand it because she didn't understand it.
Yeah, Sonny Bono. Well, a couple things. Like, you know, we do all this stuff where we look back on these stories and like, yeah, Sonny Bono, 29, when he met a beautiful 13-year-old. They moved in together 4 months later. It's like, huh? Does that make you kind of an a-hole weirdo?
Yes.
Well,
but they're famous, so they get a pass.
Sure.
Right, and Elvis met Priscilla when he was in the Army, and she was 14. They spent long hours in a room upstairs alone. Never said he never did. doesn't that make you a weirdo when you're in the army and you're, look, it's one thing where there's a 16 and a half year old that looks like 18 and hell, it's 1957, so screw it. But 14?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You saw Coal Miner's Daughter.
Yeah.
That is that scene when they consummate the marriages.
The same guy who wrote the episode with the evil twin wrote Coal Miner's Daughter.
You're kidding.
I thought Loretta Lynn. I don't want to correct anybody.
She, how many episodes was she in?
Of Knight Rider?
Yeah, Loretta Lynn.
Like 21, 22.
Yeah, it was. I was
she played the hot secretary.
Oh, that was really
Valentine's
great.
Day is coming up.
Mm.
Mark Rudolph is an author. He wrote The Man's No-Nonsense Guide to Women.
Hold on. Cher? Not that hot when she was younger. I got news for everybody. She had a big nose and crooked teeth. And, you know, she's like one of those chicks who goes, I was really awkward looking and I didn't look like any models when I was younger. And I'm like, hey, guess who's still awkward looking and doesn't look like any models, by the way? That, Cher without plastic surgery is a big nose chick with funky ass teeth.
Teresa's right here, dude.
Oh, sorry. T, I didn't know. Listen, you tell the gays it's okay to see Bette Midler. No, go ahead.
The Man's No-Nonsense Guide to Women, How to Succeed in Romance on Planet Earth, is a book by Mark Rudolph. And apparently one way to succeed with women is to let them know that celebrating Valentine's Day is nothing more than legalized prostitution.
Oh.
Here, the author, Mark, appears on the Neil Cavuto Show.
Well, it's very simple. The holiday is all about her. That's reason number one. And number two, it's expected generosity, which is not only oxymoronic, it's moronic. The typical man is so afraid of his woman that he's afraid that if he doesn't go along with Valentine's Day, not only won't she allow him to play the back nine, she won't even give him a tea time.
This guy sounds really smart.
It was a satellite interview from 1976.
Euphemism for anal, right? The back nine?
It sounded like that.
Is that what he's suggesting?
If you're expecting me to object when you say legalized prostitution like it's a bad thing, you better be waiting for a long time, because legalized prostitution is the best of both worlds. That's prostitution I get to do on my front lawn. I don't mind legalized prostitution. You know, when people go, this is nothing more than legalized drugs or legalized or why don't you? I'm always like, yeah.
Let's do it. And tax that.
Yeah. That's what we need to do. We need to legalize consensual sex in the married bedroom and then tax it.
That would be. And Neil Cavuto sat there and listened to this guy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he's a. He's a valuable guest on cable television news.
Wow. I, like, on when I'm on Valentine's Day, my wife and I will just get a prostitute.
Oh!
Yeah.
I like
a
that.
A legal prostitute.
Instead of chocolates or flowers, which spoil, you get a legalized prostitute.
Well, the memories
but
live
then,
forever.
Well, then we usually murder her.
That part's illegal.
It's just part of a ritual that we do.
You're so different from your on-screen persona, Joel McHale.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know how you're seen. People say that a lot, right? People say that a lot to me.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, I don't know, it's just me.
I know, but you seem like so, you know,
I just
like boy next door and jovial and the kind of guy you let watch your kids.
Yeah, when I'm at a party, I'm like, we get a prostitute, we kill her and skin her.
Oh, really?
And then I eventually sew all the hides together into a suit.
Wow. You see, people wouldn't know that by watching The Soup at 10 o'clock on Friday night.
I guess I need to bring my personal life into the show a little more.
I think you need to weave it in.
I'm going
to
leave you with this. From Cher to Shaq, giving you some yin to the yang, Shaq may debut in a Phoenix Suns uniform today. Here he is at a press conference discussing his trade from Miami.
I'm going to hand a lot of, he can't run, he can't do this. You're going to be very surprised. You guys automatically think I can't run, but hey, I love to run, and I look forward to making people eat their words. I really do. When I'm upset, I'm known to, you know, do certain things like win championships.
Well, I like that. I like the confident Shaq. I saw a picture of
he
him.
He sounds
the...
excited. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
I will get out your fork and spoon and get ready to eat your words. Hey,
let's get ready to rumble.
I'm king of the world. You hear me?
I'm going to posterize you.
I saw Shaq at the Miley Cyrus concert. I saw a picture of him wearing a giant Elmo t-shirt and Elmo hat.
Was he sitting next to you?
No, I only saw it via photograph, but my kids who worship Elmo, if they saw a 7'6" black Elmo that weighed 400 pounds, they would have immediately went into cardiac arrest.
The greatest thing they've ever seen.
Did not see that picture. Although, on the other hand, it could be a nice scared straight episode to get my kids off of Elmo. Shaq comes in dressed as Elmo, scares the bejesus out of my kids, so they never want anything to do with Elmo.
What if you had like a birthday party, you had Shaq, and you were telling them the whole day that Elmo's coming, and Shaq comes over, doesn't even wear an Elmo costume, but claims he's Elmo.
Okay.
And scares them.
We'll do it this weekend. Hey, quickly, before we go to break, T?
Yep.
You done with your news?
That was the news.
Tomorrow's news.
I need a closure.
Teresa Strasser.
Prisoner David, by the way, the guy who's incarcerated for life, had a woman, a female visitor. So I want to talk to him. But speaking,
a conjugal visit?
I guess. We'll talk to him in a couple of few. But first,
during sex, is he interrupted by a loudspeaker going, "You are having sex with an inmate from the..."
Oh, wait a minute. Brian will find that.
This
yeah.
recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
You need a reminder during it so you know it is an inmate.
I just wonder if that,
it would kill her. I also just got this clip in. I was watching CNN about 3:30 this morning, and this guy went into a courthouse in like Missouri and shot everyone execution style in the head. He literally was like a disgruntled townsperson.
He was angry about his parking tickets.
Right. He felt the same way we felt about City Hall every once in a while when we got a crappy parking ticket. So he walked in during a city council meeting, put the gun to the back of the mayor's head, shot him, shot a bunch of chicks, killed two cops, or at least one cop, killed six people point blank with a pistol, and 12 hours later they interviewed his adult brother about what happened, and here's what he had to say.
Here it is. My brother went to war tonight with the people that were of the government that was putting torment and strife into his life, and he spoke on it as best he could in the courts, and they denied him all access to the rights of protection, and therefore he took it upon himself to go to war and end the issue.
Well, he ended the issue.
So his brother's also a lunatic.
His brother just killed six people and maybe a seventh, I believe. That's the mayor's in critical condition by putting a gun to their head inside.
Yeah,
a
but
meeting.
Adam, he couldn't win in the courts. He could not be hurt.
I know. He got his parking ticket. Smart, pretty good. This is not the year anniversary after the shooting. This is the following morning. They're interviewing the brother. No tears, no surprise. Just a handful of excuses, and you know, he took care of business.
Right. He went to war.
Awesome. That guy, by the way, the sibling who defends or just sort of acts like he talked about his brother, riding pig on the lawn and fertilizer or something, when in fact there's six bodies piled up inside that courthouse. That guy needs to go into jail too.
Yep.
All right.
Adam, he did the best he could. Didn't you hear him? He did the best he could.
He did.
Hi, boy.
We'll take ourselves a break. Dad, I need to throw it to commercial. Oh, you're fine with that? Well, you don't have enough money to get yourself something from the vending machine? Dad, Doritos are 80 cents. You know, I understand we're in a recession. All right, here's a dollar. We'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, Joel McHale, my dad, and Prisoner David next.
Even your calls. This is Jerry Ferrara, a.k.a. Turtle. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. It's time to check in with David, who's doing 25 to life in a California state penitentiary for conspiracy to commit murder.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Prisoner David?
Adam, what's happening?
How you
Hi,
doing?
Boy.
Teresa, what's happening?
How are you, Prisoner David?
Could be better, but it's very fine, actually. I had a very good weekend last weekend.
Joel McHale from The Soup. Do you guys get The Soup in prison?
No, we don't get that cable channel, definitely.
It is for gays and women.
Mm-hmm.
So, David,
half the population.
Speaking of women, you had a female visitor?
Yes. It's been numerous years since I've had a female visitor, and last weekend I got one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my MySpace page women that are on there. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised because I've only been on there like 4 months and I've already gotten a good response. It's incredible.
And now, how did it work? How does a female visitor thing work? And you sure it wasn't a guy with his junk tucked between his legs? Because I've been burned by that a few times on MySpace.
A few times?
Baker's dozen. How's it work?
Well, basically, she wrote me. I don't usually answer any of my MySpace messages because, you know, they could be underage or something.
Wait, hold on. How do you have a MySpace page?
Recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Somebody actually set me up a MySpace page. Can you believe it?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got like tons of people on there. There's like 400 people on there.
Do you use your mugshot as your MySpace photo?
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. But so basically she wrote me, and she was real persistent. I usually, like I said, don't respond.
By the way, his space is 6 foot by 9 foot. That's the entirety of Prisoner David's space. Oh. So she wrote you back.
Yeah, so basically she kept writing me. She kept emailing me, and I just told her, you know, through somebody else, I said, why don't you go ahead and send me your physical address so I can go ahead and write you at your mailing address.
Sure, that seems practical.
Exactly. So I started writing her, and we just kind of hit it off. It was really cool. She's the same age as me, 37 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got dark hair, dark brown eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She looks a lot like Teresa Strasser, I wish.
Except older.
Exactly.
A lot older.
Did you put a Teresa Strasser mask on her?
No, actually, she turned out pretty fine looking. Some of the pictures she sent me, and I was kind of worried. I said, well, I wonder if she's actually going to look like in the pictures.
Look, it saddens me to no end. My mic's getting weird, so I'll put David on hold. But I've said it many times. There is no drop-off between the women I could get on the outside as a gainfully employed man with his freedom versus the Menendez brothers in the joint. As a matter of fact, they get marginally hotter women than I could pull if I was single.
But you...
I'm going to go ahead and call that a tragedy.
To their defense, you're wearing sweatpants with your t-shirt tucked in.
That's true.
And UGG boots.
I do feel like that orange jumpsuit hangs a little better on them than the sweatsuit looks on me.
With the t-shirt tucked in.
You're probably right. All right.
Exactly.
All right. So, Prisoner David, you guys met. She came down there. Obviously, she came to your place.
Yeah, so first she had to fill out a visitor's application.
Your place or my... Oh.
Yeah.
But once she got approved, it only took like 2 months to get approved.
Mm-hmm.
She actually flew down here from Texas.
Holy
wow, is she disturbed?
Did she have to buy two seats?
She get the extra belt?
I'm doing the MySpace math on this one.
She's a great big fat person.
It's one of these things where it's like, all right, let's see. We met up on MySpace. There's 15 pounds. She lives two states away.
Yeah, you know, Adam, you know how
it's a two-month application so she can visit me in the joint. She's up to 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, you know when you talk to a woman and you ask her how much she weighs, and then she says 120, and you're like, all right, 140.
Right.
And MySpace.
Oh, good. Good.
It's
good
80
gravy.
To 100 pounds you add.
Yeah, this, take the driver's license number and put 40.
David, was she a large woman?
Well, no, she's actually pretty fine looking. That's what I was surprised. You know, in the past, it's been numerous years since I visited a woman, and I stopped visiting women for that reason.
She's a prison nun.
Right.
Well, you're hoping that they turn out like Teresa Strasser, and they end up turning out like Mandisa.
Right.
You know, sometimes they take up two seats.
Former American Idol contestant.
Hey, you can't live in the past. You're in prison. I mean, maybe you should, actually. Right.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
But hold on. Let me say this, too. As far as being in the joint and a chick looking hot, when you haven't eaten... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you've been on an island, you've been living off of sand crabs and roots for the last 5 years, well, you see a piece of Domino's thick crust pizza that's been left outside for 3 days, and it's looking pretty damn good,
right? It's Thanksgiving dinner.
That's right.
Is this like the movies where you got to hold hands, or were you allowed to touch her?
Yes, so that's the thing. See, in a lot of Hollywood movies, you always see a guy visiting behind a glass. It's nothing like that. It's a big rectangular-style visiting room. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just does it in front of each other?
No, I wish. I wish we had that kind of access to do stuff like that. But, I mean, we could actually hold hands and kiss, which is kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah.
And did you kiss?
Yes, I kissed her. It was great.
Oh, man. What kind of boner did you have?
Believe it
The table started lifting up, and it was bolted down.
What's going on? Like,
sorry. David, you hear the bolt snapping.
How long has it been since you last kissed a woman?
4 years.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
How long has it been since you kissed a man who said she was a woman?
4 minutes. Wow. Now, when is she coming back?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I've been waiting for a letter, you know, a reply letter. This is like last week. I mean, Mel's really slow in prison, so it's probably going to be like 2 or 3 weeks before I even get a letter.
Well, David, you should play hard to get. You know what I mean? Don't be desperate.
Don't rush it.
Yeah, don't rush it.
Tell her you're seeing some other people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, put it this way. I've been, like kind of stressing it. When I go to sleep at night, I look at our Polaroid. We actually got a Polaroid picture. We took a picture together, which is kind of cool. And I'm just kind of looking at it. You remember that movie Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve?
Oh, yeah.
Just wishing he could just be with that woman. You know, I'm just sitting there wishing.
Mm-hmm. And you should tell her, like, you should build yourself up. Like, you go, I got a woman in every state. I'm a rambling man.
Yeah.
I
gotta cut this meeting short. I got someone flying in
sometimes
from Missouri.
Sometimes he rambles to the exercise yard.
Hey, when are you supposed to get out, Prisoner David?
2017, I've got a board date, a board hearing.
Mm-hmm. So, if all goes well, you'll be out of here in a short 9 years or so.
Yeah, possibly, but I doubt it, though, the way things are going in the California prison system.
Yeah, but you seem like a model prisoner.
Yeah.
I try to do my best to stay out of trouble.
All right, all right. So we haven't heard back from her yet. We don't know if she's coming back for round two.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened, and that's just kind of stressing me out. But
well,
I'm sure
once she tells her friends and family, they'll be very encouraging, and they'll almost buy her the plane ticket and drive her to the airport. Because
I
know parents.
What's her name, David?
He's only got 9 years left.
What's her first name?
Her name sounds is Stephanie. Anybody can look at her at their MySpace profile. She's actually on the MySpace page at MySpace.com/PrisonerDavid.
It was awesome because he was like Stephanie, and she's like 1-447-352. Yes,
that's her pet name for him.
She's actually a kitty cat, a little kitty cat monitor. Remember the Hello Kitty moniker?
Sure.
That's her logo. That's
oh,
her logo
sweet.
Now that's
sweet
the logo of your roommate too, right?
It's 41 pounds.
Hello Smitty, actually, is his moniker. All right, hey David, we're out of time.
Oh, bummer.
Did she smuggle anything in?
Say again?
She smuggle anything in?
No. Right. The kiss was the best thing. That was the highlight.
Smuggled her tongue in.
She smuggled in herpes.
You know, real quick, I want to tell you know what another highlight was of the visit? She actually said I had the softest hand she's ever felt.
Sure.
That's your pimpan.
Bathed in Jergens and Pruno for the last time.
Reminded her of her
9 years. Hey, we're tickled pink for you.
Yes, definitely.
God bless you.
Thank you, Madam.
All right, Prisoner David, the happiest guy I know, and he's in the joint.
His romance is blooming.
Wow.
We'll take ourselves a break. Joe McHale's here. We'll be back to wrap it up next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Complaining. I complain more
it
off the air.
Stop.
That's possible.
We can rage. Usually when it goes to commercial, Adam goes, finally, I can talk.
Well, just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. I have no idea where my thank you card is, so I'll go off memory.
Oh, wait, I
want to thank the whore that flew out to see Prisoner Dave and stuck her tongue in his mouth.
Stephanie.
From
she's
Austin.
Disturbed. We got Tia Carrere.
Tia Carrere.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, Tia Carrere, beautiful. She's playing the ukulele and singing like a siren. I want to thank...
Schlaugen, the Freudian Schlaugen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's his name?
Harlan Williams. At the Improv.
That's right. Two shows Saturday night at the Hollywood Improv. Joel McHale, by the way, from The Soup, who's also going to be at the West Palm Beach, I don't know where.
Improv,
February 29th through the 1st.
And, hi, boy. You guys are on in West Palm Beach, right?
And the Ontario. Well, we're on the World Wide Web.
Yes.
And
are you
the,
from a gay planet?
Ontario Improv. I'm actually going to catch him at the West Palm Beach because that's closer to my house. I'm on the hill. He's going to be at the Ontario Improv March 7th and 8th. Good job. As per usual, Joel.
Jessica Alba.
And the beautiful Jessica Alba. Her
pregnant.
Movie, The Eye, out in theaters as we speak. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Thank you.